about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is the real thing. This is the necessary art of our time. This needs respect. Because it isn't, and it doesn't, and nobody cares.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, we're going to go to Random Moron on line one and see how he relates to Partially Funny Topic. Random Moron? Random Moron, are you there? Hello? Yes, Random Moron, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Kevin. Hi, Dean.
Yes, hi. Okay, so how do you relate to Partially Funny Topic?
Hi, Lisa May.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, okay. How do you relate to Partially Funny Topic?
Hi, Dear Mug. Hi, Ralph. Oh, I'm sorry. What did I come here about?
And now...
Shut up, Leonard. Nobody even knows what you're talking about.
Our feature presentation.
That was pretty dead on with every phone conversation we ever had on this program.
That was awesome. It's exactly like us.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing to admit that, but it's true. Welcome in, party people, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday, the 20th of September. I want to give a shout-out to Armando, Kevin and Bean listener, who writes this email today. Hey, guys, and hi, Lisa. Ding. I was listening to one of your podcasts the other day, as I do, when you were commenting, Bean, on Lisa's voice. It reminded me when I was driving with my dad recently, who only speaks Spanish. I had the radio on listening to the show. Suddenly he said, that girl has the most beautiful voice. And he was
really?
Talking about you, Lisa May. The old man's got good taste. Armando, how about that?
Wow, that's really nice. The old men have always liked me.
It's only because he doesn't speak English, so he had no idea what you were saying was so annoying. But he just heard the voice, and he went, whoa.
The voice is good. The content sucks.
Exactly. So that's a nice guy. And this might be an outstanding time, since it's ridiculously early, to say hello to the podcast listeners who hear this show throughout the day, throughout the week, whenever they get to it. Many people in Southern California who just don't get up early enough but still enjoy the show. But a lot of people in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world, who take the time to download the podcast, which you can do on iTunes. And we really appreciate it. We got a lot of you out there.
So. Yeah, we do. And they email days later about topics. So that's fun.
Yes, but we're always happy to hear from you. And we appreciate you listening. So thanks a lot. All right. This story that we opened the show with today is a little bit different because it just happened last night. And I'm dying to talk to somebody who was at Knott's Berry Farm and got stuck on the Windseeker. I'm sure you guys saw this on the news last night, right?
Yeah. Well,
I didn't. What's the Windseeker?
It is a it's a Ferris wheel, right?
It's a
sort of. It's you go around in circles and you spin in a circle and you sit in a little chair and your legs are dangling out and everything.
About like 70 feet in the air.
Oh, it's the vomit maker thing, right?
300 feet in the air.
Oh,
first of all,
oh, even better. Sorry.
Feet. Yeah, and it got stuck last night for the second time in a month. By the way. The 20 people that were on the ride at the time were up there for nearly 4 hours.
No.
Now, I don't know what went wrong, and there's very little details in the press this morning, but I can't understand what could take 4 hours to bring it down. That's what I'm fascinated with, because it seems like, I mean, it was still working. They were still able to bring it down. Why did it take 4 hours? Unless they had to inspect every nut and every bolt before they tried to bring it down just to make sure that the reason it stopped wasn't some piece of equipment that malfunctioned or something. Maybe that's what they were trying to do, is they thought, all right, they're safe up there. They're not going to fall. Let's not bring them down in case somehow that causes chaos.
4 hours. Well, first of all, I would have wet myself.
Yes.
Many people must have.
Nowhere in any of the articles, and I've just been searching every source I can this morning to try to find out, how did nobody poop? How was there no panic? How was nobody screaming? I mean, I know they were talking over the PA system and they were saying, here's what's going on. Please be patient. We're going to get you down. And they, you know, they pointed out that they weren't in any danger of falling or anything like that. You know, they're connected with tons of those big fixed steel cables, so it wasn't likely that anybody was going to fall. But look, there are people who, and please call, by the way, if you were there, if you know anything about it, and especially if you were on the Windseeker. We want to hear from you. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. You know how it is when you go on these rides. There's always people who go up because their boyfriend wants to go or their kids want to go or something like that. They're not crazy about it, and they're already a little bit nervous about it.
Right.
And imagine what happens if you're that guy or gal, and then you get up there and it gets stuck.
I can't imagine. I mean, I wouldn't be afraid, but I would definitely wet myself. And you know people did. You may not have heard it or read it, but people did that and worse. If Psycho Mike were up there, it's all over. Well, and God help you if you're below him.
He would have peed on everyone.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garrison, a tourist from Baltimore, quoted in the article in the Washington Post today, he said that he was, he said, I have a fear of heights, so that first half hour was a little daunting, but that, you know, there wasn't anything they could do. They just basically had to sit there. Maintenance workers brought all the riders safely to the ground between 7:30 and 8, long after the park had closed and night had fallen. And apparently the ride also stopped back on September 7th. I didn't hear about it then.
Wouldn't you think maybe, and I don't know if they can't get it into position, but that you could bring in a couple of fire trucks to get people off?
Yes.
Before
yes.
the would, end of four yeah. hours?
Yes. You would think, well, I don't know, 300 feet is pretty high up.
Yeah.
I mean, those cherry pickers, I don't know if they go that far, that high up or not. But, yeah, I mean, I haven't been on this ride, but looking at the pictures, it looks like it's a, you know, it's a circle like a merry-go-round at the top, and I assume it just goes up and down in that position, right? Beer Mug, have you been on it?
I haven't been on it, no, but you're right. It does go up and down, and it goes around.
Yeah. Well, that would not be what anyone was expecting when you get on a ride like that, and you think you're going to be up there for 3 minutes, and you're up there for 3+ hours.
What did they give them? Do they give them, like, T-shirt. Lifetime passes? T-shirt?
It doesn't say. I mean, there is a reference in this article to a I Survived the Windseeker T-shirt, but I suspect that's something that they sell anyway, you know, for anyone.
Right.
But I don't know. They sure ought to give them a year pass or something like that because they're,
oh, and they're more than that, because I wouldn't come back in a year, would you, after that?
I think I might stay off that ride.
Dave wanted to say something. I didn't have him potted up. Go ahead, Dave.
Too late, Mugs. Thanks.
Oh, you got it. Timing.
Well-oiled team here. Of course, it's Beer Mug's fault. Anyway, if anyone knows anything, go ahead and email us or give us a call or something like that, because we'd love to hear more about
yeah.
it. But let's move on now and talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Thank you. Wow. It's quite a compliment. Johnny Shango is his name. You don't know him, but he has gone viral this week with a video that he recorded within minutes of the Dallas Cowboys football loss on Sunday. He is a hardcore, diehard, passionate Cowboys fan, and it's a blistering attack on his team, and it's hilarious. You'll find out why it went viral when you hear some of the tape. We got that coming up for you, and we'll talk to Mr. Shango himself on the way. We got more tickets for you to see Green Day at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. That's going to be happening on Monday at 3, but you can be there in person. We'll give you a chance to win those. You can earn them if you're a Green Day fan. This is good news for you in about an hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. UFC 152 is happening this weekend. John Bones Jones is the champion. He'll be joining us back on the show just after 7 o'clock. We'll talk to our old friend, the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick, on the program today. He is behind a fascinating video that was his idea that involved Fraggle Rock coming back to my TV and to my internet.
That's
Fraggle Rock
weird.
Is back.
Weird. Okay.
So we'll find out what kind of fever dream created that. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the program today. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the show today, and the host of this weekend's Emmy Awards, a young man named James Kimmel, is going to be joining us, also telling us about the kickoff of his annual Feast of Gennaro Festival, too. So Jimmy's got a lot going on this weekend. That's a lot of show, and it gets going with Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat next, right after this on the world-famous... live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock this Monday, it's a little man called Green Day performing live for you. We'll hook you up, put you in the audience, and give you a copy of the new album called Uno. Your chance to win in just a few minutes. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on, man?
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets? I've been talking all week about this movie I am so excited to see. It is called Looper.
Yay!
Features an outstanding cast, including Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Bruce Willis, Emily Blunt, Paul Dano, Piper Perabo, Jeff Daniels, and many, many more. Here's the basic premise, and it's a fascinating one. And give mad props to Rian Johnson, by the way, writer-director of Looper, who just came up with this on his own. Just sat around saying, wouldn't it be cool if in the future, like in like 2072, the mob is using time travel technology to whack its enemies rather than just 22 back in the head, boom. They say, grab that guy and send him into the past 30 years.
Hmm.
And we'll hire guys in the past to off these guys and dispose of the bodies. This way there's no evidence here in the present and the cops can't get us. It's genius.
Great idea.
So they hire these assassins that they call loopers because at some point the mob will close the loop on that guy when he knows too much or has outlived his usefulness. They will send him back into the past to be killed sometimes by himself. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a young Joe, and he's there doing his job one day, and who pops up on the launch pad but an older Joe played by Bruce Willis.
Oops.
So it's two men against each other, but it's the same guy, basically. Mm. Fascinating stuff. And from what I can tell, Emily Blunt can also make stuff float in the air.
Really?
So if that doesn't make your head twist a little bit, then what do you got? Just saying. Looks awesome. It's going to happen at the September 27th on Thursday at the Sony Studios lot. You get to go there and see Looper before anybody else. The movie's in theaters on Friday, September the 28th. But you'll see it a whole day before anybody else. If you want to go right now, call 1-800-520-1067. First three callers who get through with that number will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Looper. Loop-de-loop! Congratulations to Modern Family star Jesse Tyler Ferguson. He is the redheaded half of the gay couple on that show. He just married his boyfriend, attorney Justin Makita. They released a video plugging the event and introducing a new nonprofit foundation called Tie the Knot, which promotes marriage equality. The couple's been dating for nearly 2 years, so congratulations to those fellas. A lot of pregnancies and babies in the showbiz news. Shakira announced she is pregnant. She posted yesterday on her Facebook
page.
That's
sad.
Why?
What?
Why can't Shakira be pregnant?
Well, first of all, she only weighs like 45 pounds anyway.
Yeah, the baby will be larger than she is when it's born.
And second of all, I thought she's coming to my TV. Isn't she getting ready to be one of the judges on The Voice?
She is coming to your TV.
I don't want to see that.
That is the genius of Shakira.
That's not why you hire Shakira.
Shakira can't tour. She can't. Her hips can't lie anymore and stuff. So this time she just goes on television, sits there in that chair, and it wheels around. She doesn't even have to get out of the chair. The chair wheels around for her, and she just has to slap that button.
Perfect.
Okay.
Smart move.
Slapping
on
that
her
button
part.
Is how she got pregnant in the first place, Ralph.
She and her Spanish soccer star boyfriend, Gerard Pique, are expecting the baby. She has canceled all of her activities for the next few days, which means she will not be performing at the massive iHeart Radio Music Festival in Vegas this weekend.
Quitter.
So, sorry to you folks.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Melissa Jones.
How about that soccer star, by the way, who casually drops into conversation 80 times a day? Oh, yeah, Marion Shakira. Yeah. Shakira?
Knocked her up.
Fiance.
She's
yeah,
home,
had sex with
for
her.
Me.
Yeah.
Melissa Joan Hart. She had her baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Another boy. Her husband is Mark Wilkerson. The little guy's name is Tucker. That's a cute name for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker, Braden, and Mason are the three boys that she's popped out. It's a lot of Tonka toys. And while we're talking about guys who can brag about who they have waiting home for them, Brooklyn Decker, for those of you who are familiar with the supermodel, is married to husband Andy Roddick.
Mm-hmm.
Us Weekly magazine shows a photo shoot of her tearing up as she watched her husband Andy Roddick play his last professional tennis match recently. Why does he care about tennis?
Well, maybe that's why he's retiring.
You know who, what he gets to retire to? I'm going to spend all my time at home with Brooklyn Decker. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
More topless photos of Kate Middleton apparently going to be available soon. A Swedish magazine that does all the celebrity stuff has published more of them in their magazine. And the sister publication, owned by the same company in Denmark, said it will also publish around 60 of the photos in a 16-page supplement today. So,
is this all from the same, her laying out in front of that house in France? So there are essentially 60 photos that are about the same.
Basically. All shot at the same time to varying degrees of visibility. But this is not going away, this topless photo scandal for Kate.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Stop it. And Amanda Bynes' parents are worried about their little girl. Now? Just now? TMZ.com is reporting that the actress's mom and dad are relocating to California to support their daughter and are trying to unload their home in Cedar Park, Texas, where they live. So they want to be out here to be close to Amanda. So the next time she locks herself into a dressing room for 2 hours, maybe they can talk her out.
Yeah.
Lady Alarm! We found out more details about the accident yesterday where she allegedly nicked a guy who was standing on the sidewalk with her SUV. Jose Rodriguez is his name. He's a cook. And he claims he got clocked by her Porsche around 2:30 a.m. She smelled like alcohol real bad, he said. He was treated at Bellevue Hospital. Here's the thing, for torn tendons.
Oh.
He had a real injury. So
from falling down or from being hit by the car?
Here's the thing. We don't know. The investigators are still looking into the situation. No, the situation was involved in the accident. The police said the alcohol was not involved in the incident.
Well, they didn't see her till 2 hours later.
That is a good point, Lisa. I guess she could have gargled with some scope and freshened up by then.
Give him the breathalyzer!
More details from witnesses of the event. Also, somebody called the police when she went into the hotel after the alleged accident. She was arrested, as I mentioned yesterday, when she came back out about 2.5 hours later. Bystanders say, though, that Lindsay ordered her friends to call my dad when the cops cuffed her up. No, she didn't say call drunk Dina over on the right. Dr. Phil show.
Right.
Lindsay's already in damage control mode and apparently is telling anyone who will listen that she was set up by the cops.
I would think that Lindsay would have on speed dial in her cell phone an attorney in every major city in the world.
I would think she would travel one with her entourage when she went out every night.
Yeah. Just have him in the back of the car.
That's right. Just have him sitting there in his horn rim glasses, holding a briefcase, just ready to spring into action. And lastly, while we're talking about celebrities and courts, good news for our buddy Fred Willard, who celebrated his birthday. Was it yesterday we were talking about Fred?
I think the day before.
Yeah.
He wrapped up his court-ordered sex education course.
Did he learn anything?
I bet he did. This means, according to the court, he has fulfilled his requirements and all charges against Fred have been dropped.
That's a lot of masturbation.
Regarding his illicit activities in that porn theater. How dare he touch himself in a porn theater?
And look at all the people that it hurt, though. Look at all the kids that it scarred for life by him touching himself while he was sitting by himself in a dark theater. Ralph?
No, actually, no one was scarred. He plea bargained the charges down to a 2-week course. He has completed it, and now the case is officially closed, and Fred is off the hook. So.
Wow, I'd really like penis.
Well, all right. Maybe Kevin and Fred can get together after the show today. Today's celebrity birthdays, one of my favorite actors on the planet, Gary Cole. He's been in so much great stuff.
I don't know who he is.
The West Wing.
I don't know who you are. I am sitting across from you. I don't know who you are.
Great arc on The Good Wife. Perhaps best known by a lot of our audience as the boss in Office Space.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to work this weekend, okay?
He's the best. I love him so much.
56 years old today. Nelson, Gunnar and Matthew. Remember Nelson? Remember when Nelson used to be a thing?
Yeah.
What was that song they had, that big number one song that they had?
Damn it. I know what you're talking about. Think of the title. It's Bean at krock.com. Just let him know.
It was terrible, though. I know
it
that.
Was bad. We remember that much. He's 45.
It was an awful song.
He's 45. Those guys are 45 years old today. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun. She's got a new series called The X's on TV Land. She's 45.
Love and Affection, Ralph, is what it was called.
Love and Affection. That's right.
That was it.
Moon Bloodgood from Falling Skies. Also, Terminator Salvation. She is 37 years old today. And my buddy John Bernthal from The Walking Dead played Shane on that series. Very talented actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff. And he's going to be in the new Scorsese movie, Wolf of Wall Street, rather. He is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa, welcome back. Are you going to be joining us here?
I'm here now. Sorry.
I can't keep anybody on this show. There's nothing more passionate than sports fans, and that's one of the things I love about sports. Is it really does. It fires people up, brings them together, creates a community. I'm going to introduce you to a man named John Shango, who I assume, and we'll talk to him in 1 minute here, I assume is a lifelong Dallas Cowboys fan. At least he sure acts like one. He makes videos before and after pretty much every Cowboys game, Lisa, and he is an opinionated fan. He is a man who is not afraid to share his opinion on what should be happening out on the field.
Okay.
Well, he got in front of his video camera, put a video up on YouTube within minutes of this past Sunday's Dallas Cowboys loss to the Seattle Seahawks, which I wasn't mad at, by the way. 27-7, they lost. They looked terrible that day. And he's standing, I assume, in his house, right in front of a big banner of the Dallas Cowboys logo, which he refers to in the opening seconds of this video.
Please get the kids out the room because I'm going to let a couple fly on this. I'm just letting you know right off. I usually don't curse on my videos, but I'm going to let a couple fly. You see that? The Dallas Cowboys took a big on that today.
Uh-oh.
This was the most disgusting thing I've seen in a long time. I am so upset. Not because we lost the game, because you're going to lose game. This is the NFL. It happens. but they beat the living crap out of us. And I told you! I told you what they was going to do out there. I told you what type of team they were. And I told... Listen to me, because I'm plugged into this NFL. I watch people. And there's teams out there that are downright thuggish. We're not. We're finesse.
He prefers to just go as Shango, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Wow. How are you, sir?
Hey, Bean, that was the best lead-off that I've seen on all the radio programs I've been. Good job, man. You set it up perfectly.
Thank you very much. Look, I'm just impressed with your passion. Now, tell me about you as a Cowboys fan. When does this start for you, Shango?
Age 6, I think. I was with the Starback years way back then. Now, I'm from South Carolina, so I'm a child of America's team. So it was the television, it was the cheerleaders, it was, you know, I used to watch the beginning of Dallas with my mom just to see the stadium, so it was that attracted me to the Cowboys, and I've stuck there through thick and thin, you know, the bad seasons and everything. So right now, I think right now is like the thinnest because we've been in mediocre land for a long time.
Yeah, so look, you're one of millions of people around the country who fell in love with America's team because of those dominant Cowboys teams for so long, but you're right. What's the stat that I keep hearing thrown around? They've won, what, like one playoff game in 16 years or something?
Yes, and we're almost right at 500 for the last, like, since that last Super Bowl. We're, like, right at 500. So we've been just floundering right there in the middle area, and that's worse. If you're going to be bad, you can be bad and you can disconnect your emotions and you can go about your life and all that kind of stuff. But when you get teased every year, like, oh, this is the year, and then
yeah. What do you think the problem is? Do you think it's from the ownership down? Because obviously they're sure invested in that team with that beautiful new stadium and everything. What are they doing wrong, Shango?
It's up top. I think the focus is not really football as much as it is other things like making money and doing and being, you know, the big Dallas Cowboys and all that. And the focus is not the same as it is in places like New England and Pittsburgh and Baltimore and places like that.
Right, franchises that are consistently successful. Exactly. Tell me about you and the YouTube videos. How many Cowboys related videos you think you put up on your channel?
At least 800. I've been doing this a minute. Yeah,
and you said in your video, this most recent one that has just gone viral around the world. You said that you put these videos up there to put some positive energy out there. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to get someone from the team to hear you, or are you just trying to add something to the atmosphere that just helps those guys out in secret ways, or what?
I know they hear because do you remember when Albert Haynesworth stomped Andre Girard in the face and cut him?
Yes.
I did a video after that game, and I took my – that's the only game the video I've ever taken with my shades off. I took my shades off, and I just cursed Andre Haynesworth out and threatened to stomp him with my Timberlands. Well, they got into the organization. I got to have dinner with Andre Girard. I got to hang out with a lot of players. So it does get there. I mean, there's real power in this new social media and online. And I kind of know that. And when it's time to push some buttons, I tried my hardest to push a button to see where it goes. Now, this is the first time. I just went into Twitter this year, the Twitter world. Mm-hmm. And this is crazy. I've never got the national exposure that I've
gotten. This reaction that you're getting, I mean, not just from fellow Cowboys fans that feel your pain, but from people like me who hadn't heard of you before, and all of a sudden they thought, wow, this guy's the real deal. He's Dallas Cowboys fan number one.
Right. So yeah, now I'm dealing with this, but I've done this a long time, so I'm keeping everything the same, and I'm gonna keep delivering the substance, because that rant, there was a lot of substance behind that rant. It wasn't just a crazy guy in his basement yelling and screaming.
Well, Shango, let me play another clip from the video that I love, and then I want to talk to you about what you're trying to say here. My sense is that you think that the Cowboys have gotten a little bit complacent because, let's face it, they beat the Giants in week one. Listen up.
Everybody getting mad at DC because he didn't make the Cowboys number one in the league because we beat the world champs, so we're number one. Shut up! All you people that was overconfident, you helped in this shut up! This is the NFL. You got to go out there and you got to put everything on the line every week or you'll get done like we just got done. Just smacked in the face.
Is that what happened? They looked past the Seahawks because, hey, we beat the Giants. Seattle's nothing for us to worry about.
Exactly. I didn't get to hear that, but I think y'all talking about when I was saying we beat the Giants, we beat the world champs.
Yeah.
I was out here in training camp in Oxnard. The Cowboys come out here just about all the time now. So they were out here this year, and all I heard was the New York Giants. when you the opening day, Jerry Jones, we're going to face the New York Giants. You know, and it was just so much about the Giants. So when we went in that game, I was like, man, we're going to be focused to beat the Giants. You know, and we were absolutely focused that game. We went in there and we did what we needed to do. But then the whole entire Cowboy fan base was thinking that we were the best in the NFL because we beat the Super Bowl champs, which is not.
And all it really was a nice way to start a season, but it didn't mean anything for week two through, you know, week 16, right?
Exactly. And then the St. Louis Rams proved last week there's no easy teams in the NFC this year. And yeah. Seattle, your Seattle Seahawks, keep an eye on those guys. They're physical, they're good, they're fast, they're strong, and they have a chance to do something in the future.
Yeah, every weekend is competitive, and like they always say, any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. If you don't believe it, just ask the New England Patriots after this weekend, right?
Exactly. I noticed that team when they beat the Seahawks last year. I watched that, like last week, I watched that game in Arizona and Seattle almost tried to kill each other. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? You're in the NFC West, you know? And now Tom Brady's worried about it too this morning.
Well, Shago, it's awesome that we got a chance to talk to you. It's amazing to hear from your own mouth how these videos do get seen by the Cowboys and how that has been proven itself to you. So now do you feel like now that there's this worldwide attention on you, and I watched your video Tuesday where you were a little calmer, do you feel like there's a pressure on you now to do these videos every time and you got to think about all the new people that are going to be watching?
Well, I've been doing this a long time, and I told my wife about it last night. I was like, man, this is kind of weird because I've never got this much attention for it, and I know that it's affecting some stuff out there. So I've got to be even more careful not to, you know, call out players like I did Mr. Bryant. I'm so sorry, but
you were not kind to Dez, that's for sure.
call out teams like Cleveland. I never do that. I hold that to Philadelphia because they love that kind of stuff anyway. but I'm gonna make sure I don't do any things that are not classy, but I'm gonna try to keep it as real as possible because those are what my video is about. It's about cutting on that thing and being as real as possible right in that moment so people can relate to it.
All right, I'm going to let your voice on the tape take us out of here as you describe how you feel this interview went.
This was pathetic.
Oh, come on.
It was embarrassing.
Oh, Shango.
It was one of the worst performances I've seen in my life.
We did the best we could. Shango, thanks for joining us on K-Rock, man. We enjoyed it.
All right, you have a good day, everybody. All right, bye.
Finally, Donald Trump has weighed in on the Kate Middleton topless photo scandal, Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
We've been waiting for that to hear what he has to say.
I didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
I was frankly confused. What should I think about this? Is it Kate's fault? Did it serve her right for laying out there topless, knowing that, you know, she's one of the most photographed women in the world and that people will pay big money for photographs of her? Or are the paparazzi just sleazy and not giving her privacy? I didn't know what to think about it, but thank God. Thank God Donald Trump has weighed in, and here's his quote. Kate Middleton is great, but she shouldn't be sunbathing in the nude. She only has herself to blame. Who wouldn't take Kate's picture and take lots of money if she does the nude sunbathing thing? Come on, Kate.
Well, okay. That's surprising to me.
Let's find out where the Donald is coming from here as he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Trump, how are you, sir?
Come on, Kate.
Come on, Kate. Look.
Is there no place in the world that she could go?
Listen to me. I am the smartest man in the history of business that has ever been involved in business transactions that ever become between two corporations and or two individuals.
Okay.
That's how I made my millions.
Right, but none of that is true. There are plenty of people who are smarter, plenty of people who are more successful than you are, and even if it were true,
Thank you.
It doesn't mean you have any insight whatsoever into what's right or wrong for Kate. Look,
I do. I know about celebrities. I know about celebrity things. I have a show called Celebrity Apprentice.
I can't argue with that.
The title.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I'm an expert on celebrities.
In Europe. And she was in France when the photo was taken on a private residence, by the way. Something like 80% of the women go topless sunbathing. It's just normal. It's just what people do. It's not bad. It's not evil.
So you
evil.
Want us to be more European, right, Barack?
No. What I'm saying is if a woman wants to take her top off, I'm not going to be the guy who scolds her about it.
And it was really, really isolated where they were.
Apparently not isolated enough.
Well, apparently not.
There were photographers there taking her picture. And I'm saying if you're next in line to be Queen of England, you do not sunbathe. You have to consider your breasts like the royal jewels. They're the crown jewels. And by that I mean they should be removed and locked up in the Tower of London.
Okay, that doesn't even make any sense. You can't remove her breasts. Let's face it.
I know an excellent surgeon.
Oh, God. I'm sure you do.
Mr. Trump, why did you think anyone cared what you thought on this topic?
Because everyone cares about everything that I have to say about everything.
Why do you always have to try to get in the middle of every news story? This doesn't have anything to do with you.
Because I'm the only person with clarity of vision who's able to tell people what they should be doing and how they should lead their lives.
I did see also this week that you were very out front, even though nobody asked you, telling Mr. Romney to not back down from those comments about the 47% of Americans being freeloaders.
That's right.
And you said, whatever you do, don't back, just stand to your guns, and you're giving him advice. Look, he doesn't need your advice either.
He does, because he's right. The 47% of Americans are freeloaders, they're on welfare, and they don't contribute to America. In fact, we should round them up and get them out of here.
Okay. I don't think you mean round them up. That sounds dangerous.
Round them up. Put them on a barge and just have them sit in the middle of the Hudson River, which you can see beautifully from my Trump Towers International apartment complex.
Do you have to give advice to every celebrity? That's my point, really.
Yes, that's my new thing. I am giving advice, solicited or otherwise, to every celebrity that's out there, because they all need to learn how to behave more like the Donald.
Okay. Anyone else you want to shout out to, since you have a platform right now?
Give me a name. I'll straighten them out.
Amanda Bynes. What are you going to do for Amanda Bynes?
Amanda Bynes isn't being crazy enough.
Really?
What is that? What are you talking about?
She needs to really push it. She really needs to get out there and show people that she's an individual, a free spirit, and an artist.
Okay.
Instead of smoking dope behind the wheel of her car, she should have been shooting up.
Okay, that's horrible advice.
I
the last thing...
Amanda, tie off a vein in
no.
a lot of Home Depot and
no.
the dragon.
Okay, no, that's terrible advice. The
Excellent
last thing
advice.
She needs is to get sick. All right,
she
what about...
the biggest star in America if she just starts shooting up heroin.
That's
I don't
terrible
care, between
advice.
Between her toes, into her arm veins, wherever she needs to find a portal, she needs to stuff heroin
Please.
Into her bloodstream.
Stop saying that, and don't do that, Amanda Bynes. All right, what about Lance Armstrong, who is disgraced, has had all of his Tour de France victories stripped from him, and is now...
I can fix his problem in one swift action.
Okay.
Remove the other ball.
How
everyone had sympathy for Lance Armstrong when he lost the ball. So if you take the other ball, imagine how people will feel about him. They'll say, poor Lance Armstrong, he has no balls.
Okay, that's
Let's
terrible
give that
advice.
Guy a break. Let him keep his championships. Hasn't he lost enough? For God's sakes, the man's a eunuch.
All right, Mr. Trump, last one for you. He's the most despised man in America. What do you do for K-Rock's beer mug?
Hey! Fire beer mug.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
There we go.
Beer
finally, beer finally the guy makes sense.
Beer mug, let me tell you something. You're fired.
Yeah!
Come on.
Foster. Thanks, people. The world famous K-Rock at 106. Thanks, Elephant. 106.7 KROQ. Green Day live in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock is going to be on Monday. You must watch. It's going to be webcast live starting at 3 o'clock. Stryker is going to be doing the interviewing. The band is going to be playing live. You'll also win a copy of their new album, Uno. If you're on the line right now, that's in stores on Tuesday, September the 25th. We're going to play a little game that we like to call String Day.
And now join us as the Kevin and Bean String Quartet transforms Green Day into String Day.
This game sounds like it would be easy. String quartet versions that are playing your favorite Green Day songs. All you have to do is identify the title of the Green Day song you're listening to. But for some reason, it doesn't seem like it's that easy for people, does it?
No, we've tried it before, and it is not as easy as you would think, although sometimes it's very obvious.
Well, let's find out. Let's take our contestants in order, starting with Keith. He's on line one. Lisa, you keep track. Only one can win. So if you correctly identify your Green Day song, you go into the drawing. In 5 minutes from now, you might have your tickets to join us on Monday. Hi, Keith. What's going on, dude?
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Not a lot is worse than a string quartet, but we could have done banjos, so you should consider yourself lucky. Listen up. We're going to only be able to play it one time for you. What Green Day song is the string quartet playing here?
Good riddance,
Time of Your
Life.
Yeah, see, that one's pretty
easy. You had the time of your life.
I actually like that music.
I do, too.
Might be easier with the ballads. Hang on, Keith, you're in the drawing. Thanks so much for playing. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie's on line three. Hi, Charlie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, listen up. Here's your string day. Ah, another easy one. What do you got?
Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
There you go.
Well, I walk a lonely road, the only...
So far, they're pretty easy.
Yeah, let's try Daniel. He's on line 4. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for your song?
Hey, yeah, I'm ready.
Good luck.
That is Basket Case.
Sometimes I give myself the dreams.
Look at that. Sweet.
Guys,
everyone's
in the
drawing. Jason Lansix. Hi, Jason. Playing String Day for Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock to see the band. You're a big Green Day fan, I hope?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, don't be the loser who's the first guy who can't identify this string quartet version of a Green Day song. Here it is. I jinxed him.
It doesn't sound like Brain Stew, but I guess it's the closest thing I could come up with.
Oh, too bad you couldn't come up with American Idiot.
Oh, Jason, you're that guy.
Kind of appropriate that would be your song, too,
yeah.
By the way. Thank you very much for calling. Thanks for playing, Jason. We do have tickets for you every hour, so you'll have another chance. How about Matt, line 8? Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
You dropped.
Oh, Matt. Right. Okay.
Who else you got, Muggs, that we
Miguel.
Haven't talked to?
Miguel.
Let's go to Miguel. My phones are dead now, too. So.
All right.
Hey, Miguel.
Hey, what's up?
Good luck to you. Listen up. Here's your string quartet song. Ah, easy peasy. What do you got, dude?
Shoot, could have needed that. Well, I'm just going to take a stab because I don't want to waste your time. Wake me up with some submarines.
Aww,
nope.
Miguel.
When I Come Around, that one was called. Nice try, and you can hear just as well as all the other callers who got it right. All right, we got one more. Beer
yeah,
Mug, who's it going
to
be?
Let's go to Lori on line 5. What's up, Lori?
All right, Lori.
Hey, how you doing?
Good luck to you. You're the final contestant for String Day. Listen up. All right, let's go out on a bang. What do you got?
Oh, my God, I know it. I just can't think of the name. I don't know. I'm going blank.
Not even a guess? Not even a guess.
Oh,
it is
Lori.
Holiday is what we're looking for. All right, so we got Keith and Charlie and Daniel and Jason and Matt and Miguel. Everybody's in the drawing. Who is going to be joining us at K-Rock for the Red Bull Sound Space to see Green Day Monday?
And the winner is Daniel.
Yay!
Daniel, what about you?
Woohoo!
All right.
Good job.
Congratulations, man. We'll see you here at K-Rock on Monday. Thanks for playing String Day.
Thank you very much.
That was the Kevin and Bean String Quartet playing for you String Day.
John Bones Jones, is he the best MMA fighter in the world? Well, yes, he is, but he has a chance to lose that title. UFC 152 is happening this weekend in Toronto, and we're going to talk to Bones coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot to catch up with Mr. Jones since the last time he was in our studio, Ralph, with him refusing that fight and Dana White not being happy about it.
You're saying you're going to kick his ass?
And then that. Beer Mug wanting to fight him and all that, yeah.
Lisa wanting to fight him.
I was going to throw down my lavender belt.
speaking of Beer Mug, Ralph, and I don't know if you back me on this. I think that these hateful cartoons that Beer Mug has been drawing all over the building of the Prophet Muhammad,
yes.
I think it's got to stop.
I
don't
agree,
you?
Too.
What?
I am offended. I'm not even Muslim, but I think it's offensive.
And he's just trying to get a reaction, right?
Yes.
You guys have me mistaken.
And then he made that movie. He made that whole movie profane movie about Muhammad. I just think that's uncool, dude. Really do.
Yeah,
and that's
really.
Beer Mug is the one who's been doing all of that.
It's the guy in Cerritos. I don't know his name, but it's not me.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
I'll give you a dollar, by the way, when we get John Jones on the phone. If you go, John Bones, John Bones, John Bones, Jones, John Bones, John Bones, John Bones, Jones.
I'll give you a dollar to do that. Your buck is safe.
Oh,
it's not going to happen.
You're a coward. Hey, come see me and Kevin Smith this Saturday. If you live deep in the San Fernando Valley or Ventura County, we are taking the show up north to Agora Hills, to one of my favorite venues, the Canyon Club.
It's going to Sunday, be Sunday,
no,
Sunday.
No, once again, it is Saturday.
Sunday, Sunday, no. Sunday.
If I may correct you, it's Saturday. This coming Saturday, we are going to be performing at the Canyon Club. CanyonClub.net is where you can go for your tickets and more details. One of my favorite venues because, I'll have you know, not only did I see Asia there when they reunited.
Yes, yes, you did. I was thinking of that just the other day.
But I saw Eddie Money there not too long ago.
It's a great place.
Eddie and I caught up. And that was the last place I spent any time with my good friend Davy Jones before he passed away.
Oh, how about that?
So a lot of memories for me there at the Canyon Club. We'll be making some new ones on Saturday when...
it's Friday.
It's not Friday. It is, in fact, Saturday. Saturday is the actual day of the event. And it may be the last time some of you spend time with me there. So,
are you going to die or something?
Hey, anything can happen. Lisa, what do I know? Before I get to show business news, I do want to nominate a potential Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day. If you don't mind, real quickly, before I get to show business news.
Sure.
I'd like to nominate Valerie Spirilli. Valerie Spirilli, 60 years old, from Doylestown, Ohio. Found out recently that her husband, who just passed away not too long ago, she talked to some family members, did a little DNA test, and found out that her husband was, in fact, her father.
No.
Congratulations, Valerie. Look forward to all the therapy you'll be going
through. Okay,
the rest
something
of her life.
Made her want that test.
She apparently had heard rumors. There had been rumors, Lisa.
What?
During their entire marriage that was going on. But she just said, oh, people are just talking crazy talk. It turned out that her mother was a lady of the evening. And her biological father, Percy, was 15 years old when he had sex with Valerie's mother.
Wow.
Impregnated the prostitute. When Valerie was 3 months old, she was sent to live with her grandparents. She was told that her grandfather was her father, and her grandmother was her mother, and that her mother was just some family friend. So she grows up, she moves on, she meets Percy later on in life, they get married, and turns out he was her dad.
Do you think he knew? There's no indication?
That is to be debated. No one knows whether he knew or not.
We've never done the phone topic, but there
are
a lot of...
No.
You found out that a relative was not the same relative that you thought it was, which happens all the time.
Yeah,
where people,
that's
you,
true.
You think they're, you know, you think they're your aunt, and it turns out they're your mom and stuff like that because they gave you up as a kid and you were raised by, you know, her sister or something like that. Those stories do happen fairly frequently, not to this extreme, but that's crazy stuff.
Jack Nicholson, his whole life, was taught that his grandmother was his mother and that his mother was his sister.
Right.
No kidding.
His entire life grew up believing that.
That's got to screw you up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's somebody throwing a hand grenade into your into your psyche right there. All right, let's move on with some showbiz news. Sad news, Stone Temple Pilots had to cancel a gig on Tuesday night in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. Scott Weiland strained his vocal cords. Bean, stop getting your mind.
That's what happened.
Stop with your evil thoughts. Doctor suggested he shouldn't sing for at least 48 hours, so that's why STP had to cancel the gig, but... Good
news. You always have to be ready with them, no matter what it is.
That's true. It could be any number of things. The tour ends Sunday in Sacramento, by the way, this week. So it's the finale coming up.
He strained his vocal cords when the top of the vodka bottle broke off.
How dare you, sir?
Just saying.
Deftones have a new album coming out on November the 13th. Is that your birthday, Bean? When's your birthday? November
14th.
14th. It is called Koino Yokan.
Okay.
Which doesn't really translate from Japanese to English. There's no real English translation. But it sort of means love at first sight, they say. Well, thank you, Deftones.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. The first single, by the way, Leathers, is available right now at Deftones.com. If you want to download it, you can check it out. They're kicking off their North American tour on October the 9th in Ventura, California, and then wrapping it up on November the 18th in Las Vegas. So if you're a Deftones fan, you can check them out. Interesting list. You know, we love our lists here at the Showbiz Beat. From StarPulse.com, the entertainment news website. This is a specious list. This is just for gags, but I thought it was pretty interesting. They've assembled a list of celebrities who might actually be aliens. judging from their...
Do we get to guess?
Strictly from their visual appearance. I guess some attributes to their personality as well. These are celebrities who could seriously be suspicious, could be suspected of being aliens.
Ryan Gosling
not on the list. No.
Shocking.
You want to take a guess? This is just some.
We all saw the Men in Black movies, so we know Michael Jackson was in fact.
These are all living celebrities.
Well, Lady Gaga.
Gaga's on the list. Absolutely.
Oh, is she?
Totally seems like she could be an alien.
Absolutely, she could be an alien. She probably is.
She's a weirdo.
And Nicki Minaj is also on the list.
Great choice.
Yeah. Lil Wayne, they say,
yes.
Could easily be mistaken with some alien from another planet. Joan Rivers, given her look.
Totally.
She looks like a gray.
Shirley MacLaine, given her connections with the other world.
That's an excellent guess. She didn't make the list, but an excellent guess. Carrot Top. You've seen Carrot Top.
Because he's all weirdly
he's not human, I know that.
That's right. And lastly, Tom Cruise. So it's just a list you can check out at starpulse.com. Honey Boo Boo.
Yes, what's going on with my Honey Boo Boo child?
I know you love the Here Comes Honey Boo Boo show.
I love that whole family. Are you kidding me?
About Alana Thompson and her crazy family. Well, there is another project in the works for the family. They're looking to capitalize, as you can imagine, on her fame. She was recently signing autographs, by the way, Alana was, at a venue, charging I don't know how much bucks per autograph, and I thought that was kind of strange considering, you know, they're on TV now and stuff. But how much do you think the family pulls down per episode? The entire family, what do you think they get paid per episode of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo? And now I understand maybe why Alana was charging for her autographs.
Okay, well, because we were talking about this off air, and what did we think, Bean? Like, they were each getting around $3,000?
I know that it was reported that they were making $4,000 an episode, but then...
That's what I'm reporting.
Then June went on the Seacrest show and said that was way low. They were getting way more than that. Now, who knows whether that's true or not? Because that seems awfully low for a family to do a reality show.
Well, maybe it's per person.
No, it's for the family. It was $4,000.
Really?
And that's the actual amount.
That's
huh?
the actual amount.
That's terrible.
Hollywood Reporter says the family is back in negotiations for a second season of the show, and they want $10,000 an episode.
That seems appropriate.
That makes me holla, honey, boo-boo.
For the whole family?
Well, no, they should get more.
A hell of a lot more
they
than $10,000 per episode.
That show's doing well, right?
Yes.
Yes. Big hit. Big hit.
Yeah.
The show's around 2 million viewers per episode.
Yeah. I wonder what they make on that show.
What should they get, Ralph?
Insiders say the family would probably get around $8,000 per episode for season two. That's what they're probably going to settle
feel
on.
Sad.
It's nice to grow up in Georgia, apparently, where that's money.
Well, you haven't seen the show, Ralph. They live in a it looks like about a 900 square foot house on a railroad track. I mean, they're living cheap.
Well, that maybe it means something to them.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is. And remember, you know, June is a hoarder and an extreme couponer, so she makes her money go a long way.
She can stretch that $8,000, huh?
Yep, they could live 2 years off that.
Season one's still going on, of course. It wraps up with a one-hour season finale next Wednesday, September the 26th, if you want to mark your calendars.
Mark your calendar.
$4,000 per episode for the whole family.
That's bad of them.
That's exploiting the
totally
poor people
is.
Of Georgia.
Listen, the average reality show person on an ongoing series would get about $10,000 per episode for themselves. So for a family of five, how many are there?
It's five, yeah.
Five
well,
of,
six now,
six.
Now that little Caitlin's been born,
right.
Yeah.
I mean... That's crazy talk.
That's bullshit.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Bernthal, very talented actor, buddy of mine from The Walking Dead, played Shane, of course, from that series, 36 years old today. Moon Bloodgood, she's 37. She's in Falling Skies. She's great on that show. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun. Now The X's is 45. Matthew and Gunnar Nelson, the legendary band Nelson.
Let's get Omar to give us some Nelson.
Yeah, we
got to
find
a little
blood and
guts. Love and affection.
Love and affection. Yeah, that's it. 45 years old today. They were, of course, the kids of Ricky, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Famous Ricky Nelson. Gary Cole, one of our favorite actors around here. Probably best known as the boss from Office Space. But he had his own series that I loved called Midnight Caller, about a late night radio DJ. And he was in The West Wing and Entourage. And The Good Wife.
He's a good wife, yeah.
He's always great, whatever he does. 56
years old. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
7:10. Guess who's on the phone? This guy.
Hi, I'm John Jones of the UFC. The kid is extremely talented. He can kick and punch from any direction.
Oh, my goodness. Big elbows from Johnny Bones Jones.
When's the last time we saw Matt Hamill get tossed around in a fight? Probably only by John Jones. I mean, he's really that good.
And now Jones looks for the takedown by John Jones.
I'm definitely becoming more confident, and I believe in myself. You have to believe in yourself to fight one of the toughest men in the world. That's just how it goes.
This kid's on just another level. Look what he did to Shogun. Look what he did to Machida. Those are two guys who are dominant over a lot of dudes. And John Jones just ran through them.
It is all over!
Saturday night, 7 o'clock, pay-per-view from the Air Canada Centre in Toronto is the main event featuring John Bones Jones, who's on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bones, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Man, I tell you, that was the longest introduction I have ever heard.
I'm sorry, did you fall asleep? Did you fall asleep or anything during it? You okay?
I'm just feeling pretty cocky this morning after hearing all that. But,
Well, you got quite a history, my friend. Look, we've got a lot of ground to cover here in the few minutes that we have you, and thanks so much for taking the time. We really enjoyed meeting you when you stopped by the studio a few weeks ago, so thanks for getting on the phone with us here today. First of all, you're just checking your weight. Where are you at right now?
215.
215. How you feeling?
I feel phenomenal. Really good.
You seem like such a zen guy. Like, you know how to get into that frame of mind that you need to be in the week of the fight, where you just have to kind of be peaceful and know that you're prepared, right?
Yeah, I feel pretty dialed in. You know, it's all I think about. So this is kind of my world, you know.
Let's talk about Belfort for a minute. He had to gain weight in order to fight you, and obviously you've got a huge height and age advantage on him. But you, I know, do not underestimate this guy, right?
Yeah, I never underestimate any opponent. You know, Vitor Belfort is a former world champion in two different weight classes. So, yeah, I would never underestimate anyone. I'm sorry.
Right. Have you met with Dana yet since he arrived in Canada?
No, I haven't. We'll probably talk tomorrow sometime.
He was here in studio with us last week, and of course we brought up what happened with 151, and he said, yeah, you know, as you know, he wasn't very pleased with the way things went down, but he was looking forward to getting face-to-face in front of you and talking about it. What do you anticipate is going to happen in that meeting?
You know what, to be honest, I'm sure he heard a lot of my comments of what I had to think about the whole situation. I've heard his comments, and so we're pretty much on understanding where we both stand, and I doubt anyone's going to kick back steps, but we will try to come to some solution and look to move forward.
Well, like you've said, you guys have to be on the same page, right? You're working toward the same goal, which is to make the greatest sport you can.
Right, exactly.
What did you think about the reaction that you got when you declined the substitute challenger for 151? Were you surprised at how many people came down on you, Bones?
No, I'm not surprised. You know, I'm not surprised. You know, a lot of people, they react out of you. They blame it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, your phone broke up there for a second. Say again, Bones.
Just reacted out of emotion, and I'm just more happy that the fans are really starting to come around and, you know, let it die out so fast and kind of realize that it wasn't actually all my fault, you know.
Right. So, in other words, the easiest way to forget about 151 that didn't happen is to give them a great show for 152.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. Since the last time we had you in, you signed the Nike deal. Tell me about that. Tell me what that feels like.
Man, that feels absolutely phenomenal. You know, Nike's a sport. It's a brand that I've always wanted to be associated with. And, you know, hope for it 5 years ago. And, you know, just tell the world that it's what I wanted out of life and finally accomplish it. You know, it just makes me believe in things like the law of attraction even more.
So, in other words, when you were fantasizing about being a big star in the UFC, one of the things that you saw that was a byproduct of that is you were going to be a spokesperson for a great company like Nike. And that's just one of those things that you always kind of worked toward.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not only being a fighter, but but, you know, really being a leader and a face of the sport and, you know, being sponsored by Nike and companies like Gatorade and just being a big global star for our sport is something that I wanted for myself, and I see it slowly unfolding.
Yep, you're totally living the dream out there. All right, before we let you go and get back to it, tell me what the next day and a half are like for you. Like, how do you work out today and tonight, and then you take tomorrow off from working out, or when do you start slowing down toward the fight?
I just work out once now, and that's at night. I work out around 12:30 a.m. Just to kind of get my mind and body ready to compete at that time, because that's the time the main event usually goes out there. And, you know, I'm eating really, really healthy, very small portions. And I'm just focusing on getting this this body fat down a little bit more before starting to lose that water weight. But I feel great.
Can you sleep?
Can I do what? Can I sleep?
Can you sleep?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a night owl anyways. You know, last night I stayed up to 3 a.m. I'm a little bit of a night owl. I think my mind is more creative at those early morning hours. So I usually like to do a lot of my studying around like 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, it works out for me. I seem to take more in.
Well, you're a better man than I am. If I'm getting in the octagon with any of you guys, I'm never sleeping. there's no way that I relax enough knowing how soon some guy's going to be trying to knock my block off. But
if I knew I had to host a radio show, I'd probably be pretty nervous.
I guess it's all what you're used to. UFC 152, Jones versus Belfort, is going to be this Saturday night on pay-per-view, Air Canada Center in Toronto. And by the way, quick reminder for UFC fans, don't forget there's a whole bunch of fights, I think four, that show on FX starting at 5 o'clock. And then the fights at the top of the card all start at 7 o'clock on the pay-per-view. It's going to be amazing, and it's going to be great to see you fight again. And you're very kind with the time. We wish you the best of luck, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
A lot of show coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show here at K-Rock, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel. Whatever happened to Jimmy after he left doing Sports Center show? Is he still in entertainment at all, Ralph? Do you know?
I think he does kids' parties now.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. It's kind of sad for him. He peaked on the Kevin and Bean Show and didn't even know it. We'll catch up with Jimmy. Also, Dr. Drew, who's, of course, on that new VH1 rehab show. That is awesome. And Chris Hardwick joins us in just a few minutes as well. Ralph, I asked you to come in because you're the guy to go to with all things sexy.
Yes.
You used to host the Sex U here on K-Rock back in the good days.
I'm nude right now.
You are nude right now, which Lisa appreciates. Mm-hmm. Have you ever walked in on your parents having sex is the topic of the
walked
day.
Walked in? Joined in?
Oh, man.
More like it. No, I've never walked in on my parents.
My sister did.
I didn't know. I still to this day don't know if my parents ever had sex. I never heard it.
You're hoping you were adopted?
I never heard rumors. I never heard banging headboards in the middle of the night.
You never saw affection?
I saw plenty of affection, but I just never saw any getting down to business. The door never seemed to be locked. I was never sent away, as far as I can remember, for a weekend. I don't know what was going on, but they managed to pump out two kids. So somehow, some way, they must have been getting it done.
They figured out a way to do it completely quietly and discreetly so that it did not scar you as a young man.
Yes, I was never subjected to their sexy time.
What happened with your sister, Lisa?
Well, she walked in on them one morning, and I won't describe the position they were in, but it wasn't the usual. And
What the hell? It wasn't the usual.
It wasn't missionary.
Did it involve a slinky?
It wasn't missionary. And I mean, the fact that I still know this to this day, she still talks about it. It really, like, it burned her eyes.
Yeah,
it was just horrifying.
Look, there's a Yahoo group dedicated to just this subject where people just share the stories and they share the horror and they share the scarring. We want to hear from you, by the way. If you walked in on your parents having sex, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. We want to find out what it was like, what did they say? How did they explain it away? How were you traumatized for life? Here's one, for instance, on the Yahoo group. I did when I was in fourth grade or so. It took a few years for me to really realize what had been going on. I think I must have been in shock. When I walked in, my mom started screaming at me about knocking the door, so I left. A few minutes later, my dad came downstairs to chat in a more calm way to teach me about knocking.
In the news!
Here's another one. I did this when I was very young in high school. It was a big disaster for me, and just ugh. They never even brought it up, never said anything to me about it. It did, however, postpone me from having sex for a while. It might be a good thing for your son or daughter if you want them to wait until they're an adult.
It's an excellent idea. Sit the kids down in the bedroom and say, look, this is what sex is. You think this is attractive? You think this is going to be hot?
You want to do this?
I beg to differ. You watch, young man. You just pay attention.
Jesse said, I never did, but my son has walked in on us. We didn't have to explain anything, though. He was only 4 or 5, and he was half asleep at the time, so we just got up and put him to bed. One more, Jamie. They quickly stopped and just stared at me until I left.
Just burned holes into his eyes.
I think my sister just creeped out quietly, and they never knew.
It's got to be horrifying because, let's face it, your parents are not people, right? And they are certainly not sexual beings.
No,
right.
They're parents.
They're parents, and that's their job, is to be parents. All right, here's the story that started it all, and then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. The reason this is on our radar is that Slash, the guitarist from the Guns N' Roses band, was doing an interview recently where he brought up that his mom had worked professionally with David Bowie. His mom was a costume designer working with Bowie. I assume, what do you think, Ralph? Probably back in the 70s this would have been, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing post-Ziggy, but still when he was doing all those wacky costumes with the clowns and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's how it started, and it turned into some sort of mysterious romance that went on for a while after that. He remembers seeing a lot of David Bowie at the time, quite literally on one occasion, says this article from Rolling Stone magazine. I caught them naked once. They had a lot of stuff going on.
Wow.
But my perspective at 8 was limited. Looking back on it, I knew exactly what was going on. Despite the potentially awkward encounter, Slash remembers Bowie fondly. He was cool. I liked David a lot. Mm. And then he did not add, not as much as my mom did.
Yeah.
Of course, we got David Bowie's comment on this incident, and it was, in fact, confirmed by Mr. Bowie.
A young Slash saw my Willie.
Oh, my goodness.
A young Slash saw my Willie. A young Slash saw my Willie. A young Slash saw my Willie.
And there he is. He confirmed
it. A young Slash saw my Willie.
The story was in
a young Slash saw my Willie.
He drew.
A young Slash saw my Willie.
Bowie says that.
A young Slash saw my Willie.
All right, we got it, David. Thank you.
The relationship.
Slash his mother had to relate.
That's right. Slash saw my Willie.
He's overdoing it now.
Sounds
almost proud.
He came in
can't stop singing about it.
We understand that.
Young Slash saw my
okay. That, look, we're out of time, David. You gotta.
I was banging Slash's
we don't need the details.
He walked right into our room. Right,
why do we keep asking?
When he saw my Young Slash, he saw my Willie.
Okay,
then he pointed and said, "That's a Willie."
Yes, about 8 years old.
That is an uncircumcised Willie.
Now that's too much information, Dave.
He's uncircumcised.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bowie. Johnny, you hang on. Marina, you hang on. Everybody else, you walked in on your parents having sex. Your story's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Joe's email begins. I walked into my parents having sex when I was about 12 years old. Imagine walking in on a 200-pound lady on top of a 110-pound man.
Oh, come on.
Did she run and do CPR?
Luckily, they didn't notice that I had opened the door, so I slowly backed out, went to the toilet, and puked. I couldn't look either one of them in the eyes for weeks. Oh. That's what we're talking about here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. You walked in on your parents having sex. Man, we got a lot of great calls. Let's get to as many of them as we can. How about Johnny on line one to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hi, Johnny. Thanks for calling, man.
Hey, what's up, Lisa?
Hi, Johnny.
What happened?
So my buddy calls me. I was in bed already. Calls me about 10 o'clock. He's like, hey, man, come over real quick. I jump out. I go downstairs. I walk in the garage. Oh, dude, man. Dad had mom bent over on the hood of the car.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously?
And having sex in the garage on the hood of the car. Why?
It's because she was doing laundry, I guess. That was their excuse, and they got caught up. And he still yelled at me, go inside.
They're probably just trying to be anywhere you weren't.
And
then you have to get out of
the
bed and you're out of your house and then cause a problem.
It's your fault, Johnny.
What are you doing living at home at 21 anyway? Get the hell out of your house.
Poor parents.
The bad thing is that I can't even do that position anymore. Everybody else.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate
never
the call.
Never drive that car again either.
Let's go to line four. It's going to be Bobby up next. Hey, Bobby. Thanks for calling the Kevin Beach Show. Talking about walking in on your parents doing the nasty. What happened?
Hey, guys. I was 15 years old and I was at my buddy's house and my parents said, hey, we're going to come back and pick you up in an hour. And my friend's dad was just like, listen, I want you to get out here. So he dropped me off at home. We had this long hallway, and the lights are dark. Door's wide open. I open the door down the hallway. Just my dad, gives my mom. My mom's legs are right up in the air, and all the action is happening right in front of me.
Oh.
And I'm just like, oh, my God, what is going on? I walk outside. I sit outside for 2 hours. I get the cops called on me because no one knows why I'm some dude sitting outside the front porch.
Oh, yeah.
And my parents are like, what's going on? What's going on? So I walk inside. Don't talk to him for at least a month.
Let me ask you this, Bobby, and I'll ask your opinion as well, Ralph. Is it worse when you're 15, you already know what sex is all about, so at least you have a comprehension of what's happening? Or is it worse when you're like 7 and you have no idea what sex is and it's just confusing and scary and you think daddy's hurting mommy?
There might be repercussions when you're 7, but when you're 15, you know full well what's going on, especially when you see the action. All that old stuff just right in front of you,
Yeah, of course it's worse when you're a teenager, absolutely.
And you got your mom who's supposed to be your mom, you're like, you know, with her legs up in the air, like, what's going on?
She's still your mom, Bobby. She's still your mom. She's just a sexy mom, that's all.
She's a sweetheart, I love her.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Bobby. Bobby brought that to life for me, by the way. That was too much of a visual.
Oh. Creepy
Casey,
bean.
Casey, right? No, I'm saying.
I
wish it hadn't been quite so vivid. Is what I'm saying. Casey says, "I wish I could say it happened when I was 10 or 12, but I was actually 21. I came home from college to surprise my parents. It was about 10 o'clock, so I figured Dad was out. Mom was in the bedroom putting laundry away. Boy, was I wrong! I've never ran out of a room that fast before in my entire life. We've never discussed it. No one ever admitted that it happened, but I'll certainly never be able to forget that image."
Yeah, the laundry's getting done, all right. Yeah, the spin cycle. The agitator.
Sylvester weighs in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. "My mom was out of town once, and I heard my dad and her having phone sex."
Ooh.
That's even different than walking in on actual sex.
See them doing it than hear them talking about it, quite frankly.
All right, let's see what Marina's got going on. This is on line 3, and this one sounds like talk about being scarred for life. Marina, thank you for calling, and thank you for holding on. What happened?
Well, I was about 4, mm-hmm. and I couldn't sleep, and I remember walking to my parents' room, and they said, okay, come to bed, it's all right. I don't know how long later, but I just felt like weird, and I looked over and I saw my mom and my dad.
Oh, come on. Stop that.
And
turn off that music.
I never, ever, ever, ever mentioned it to them. And as I got older, I realized what had happened. And I told my brothers about it, and they wish I never did. But
Your parents had sex with their 4-year-old daughter in the bed. Now, am I skeeved out by that? I mean, should I not be skeeved out by that? Is that common and I just don't know it?
No, it's not common.
Old.
There's no children in the bed during sex. I don't care if they're a zygote, Lisa. It doesn't matter how old she is.
No, I agree.
I can't have sex with a dog in the freaking bed.
Well, that's your problem.
No, it's just wrong. There's no pets or babies in the bed during sex.
So fussy.
Photographers, though, that's okay, right?
Yes.
Hey, Marina, were they doing...
Lithuanian typewriter.
Okay, that's fine, Beerbug. Marina, so you never talked to your parents about this?
Never.
Wow. I'm glad you talked to Kevin and Bean about it, though. That's priorities.
Someone should have talked to Child Services about it. That's what they should have done.
I'm older now, so I don't think it matters.
Well, press charges anyway.
Thank you, Marina.
I want them in jail.
I appreciate the call, my dear. Let's go to Peter, by the way. He has a similar story. Peter was 7, and he's on line 6. Hi, Peter. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Hey, good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
When I was about 7 years old, my mom and stepdad separated. He moved out to Mexico, and my mom followed him afterwards. But when we got there, we were actually kicked out of his house because they didn't like us.
Mm-hmm.
The only property that he had was a van, so we actually ended up having to sleep in the van that night. I was in the front seat. They were in the back. And sometime around 1 or 2 a.m., I'm thinking, it started to move around.
Yeah.
The van was rocking.
And he couldn't come knocking because he was already in the van.
Honestly, it was an earthquake, and I get up and look back, and I saw things that I can't unsee. And
the earth was moving, all right, for your mom.
Yeah.
Now, what's your policy on having sex when there are kids in the car, Ralph? Are you also against that?
Yes, I am.
Buddy Duddy.
I thought
you're
Ralph
crazy
was,
me.
Was a swinger and
I don't
open-minded.
Involve the children in the sex at any point.
You're uptight. Thank you for the call, Peter. Let's do one more. This is going to be Cody. Cody is the closer, and he's on line 7. Cody, correct me if I'm wrong. You did not walk in on your parents, right?
No, sir. I did not walk in on my parents.
Then what the hell are you doing calling here, sir?
I walked in on my grandparents.
I went to
a little like a minor league game with my aunt, and when we came home, I
rang the doorbell. No one was, cause I was staying with them for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Rang the doorbell. No one would answer. So I just walked in. And then when I was yelling, is anyone home? Anyone home? I was looking around. When I turned the corner to their bedroom, they have two big French doors. They're all glass. And just from the reflection, I could see my grandma on top of him.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Grandparents. I can't walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Yeah.
Now, you were seven. Did you speak with them about it afterwards, or is it just is it still the shameful family secret that no one mentions?
No. Everyone mentions it, but it's just behind their back. They still don't know that I walked in on them, but the whole it's a big family joke between my whole family.
That's fantastic.
You were in the minors when Grandpa was in the majors, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still throwing the heat.
The funny thing is when I walked outside, I just walked outside. I didn't say anything to my aunt. She thought something was wrong, so she ran inside, and she also walked in on them.
Wow, the whole family got a show.
Should have started calling other relatives. Hey, come on over. You're not going to believe what's happening. The grandparents are still doing it.
Well, God bless them.
Thank you, Cody. Appreciate the call.
Talk about here on the show about the fact that I also do a podcast with my buddy Kevin Smith. We're doing it Saturday this week. It's going to be up at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. We're moving it north for the people who live out there who want to get a chance to see Hollywood Babylon live. If you'd like to go, canyonclub.net is the place to go for details and tickets for Saturday night's Hollywood Babylon.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like,
I just told you.
Where is
canyonclub.net? Goddamn, David Hasselhoff.
It's going to get nuts.
It is going to get nuts. Here's the thing. I used to think Simon Cowell was a genius. I used to think he had his finger on the pulse of popular culture. I thought he was genius how he manipulated the media, how he made choices that made him a lot of money in terms of music and show business. Now I think I'm off that, because this X Factor show of his just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
What's happening?
Like he's just clueless in terms of what people would be interested in seeing. What would make the show fresh, interesting, and hip? First of all, he hires those two has-beens to be the judges. You got right. Your Britney Spears, who, let's face it, is on the other side of the mountain when it comes to her popularity and
absolutely.
And in terms of her relevance in music, right?
And yeah, she's not going to have much interesting to say. So people like me tune in once just to see, and then I'm
right.
done.
And Demi Lovato. Same thing, right?
Zero.
Nothing to offer in there.
Yeah.
Demi Lovato.
Then he announces that Khloe Kardashian is his choice to be the host of X Factor.
Right.
And you see, all these choices seem to be like to get the headline by doing these announcements. But when it comes to the actual show, it's fallen on its face. That's why a show like The Voice is crushing this show, because of it's got Carson Daly. He's a talented guy hosting. He's hip. He gets it. He knows what's going on. The judges they pick are people who are relevant,
current,
who have
relevant
something
artists.
To say, have got some brains about them. Shakira's coming on board. Usher's coming on board. They know how to do it. And this has been confirmed by this announcement today. This is coming from a source. Perez Hilton apparently broke this. Looks like Khloe Kardashian is just one of the hosts of The X Factor. The other host she will be teamed up with when the first live show airs on November the 1st, Mario Lopez.
Oh, when this was rumored, we couldn't believe that it was even a possibility.
And why do they need two hosts?
Mario Lopez and Khloe Kardashian hosting The X Factor.
So they can do their great comedy together?
Though just two limp dish rag,
bland.
Nobody bland, nothing to offer hosts for a show that's already in the doldrums in its second year.
Yeah. I don't know that
anyone
gets it. Mario Lopez is serviceable. I don't know that anyone gets excited over him.
He's fine when he's introducing taped pieces on Access Hollywood, or whatever the hell show he does.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you don't want to see the guy on stage. He doesn't generate any excitement.
No.
He's the Latino Nick Cannon, is what he is.
That's a great way to describe him. And I'd like to point out that the Latino Mike Catherwood is sitting out there trying to get a TV show. He's available. He's on the bench, and you're putting in Mario Lopez to bat? Come on.
Guy's got something going on. Look, I know they're interchangeable practically, Mario Lopez and Mike Catherwood. I understand that. But I'm saying Mike has a little bit more going on in the personality department, for God's sakes. Interesting casting news. You know, I love Magic City, the show over there on Stars, about the mob in Miami at the end of the 50s, beginning of the 60s. Love that show. Great. Some casting gets for that show coming up for the second season. Isai Morales from NYPD Blue, he's going to be getting a recurring role on the drama. And I'm really excited, James Caan star of Godfather, of course, will be playing a Jewish gangster named Cy Berman, who's the head of the mob in Chicago. He's going to be mixing things up in Magic City in the season two. So looking forward to that. While we're talking about mobsters, James Gandolfini, of course, famous for playing Tony Soprano, is coming back to HBO for another TV series.
Really?
Yes. He will be starring in a series called Criminal Justice. He will play a defense attorney who trolls for clients in police precincts and appoints himself counsel for a young man accused of murder. Apparently, in the British version of the show that it's based on, each of the five seasons, the show would focus on one person's journey through the justice system. So each season will be one case.
Interesting.
And every episode will be a piece of that, and James Gandolfini playing a low-rent criminal defense attorney.
Huh.
I'll be interested to see if he can stretch a little bit and make us think of something other than Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good actor, but that character certainly is indelible.
I'll tell you what. There was a time when I thought Edie Falco would always be Mrs. Soprano,
yeah.
And I've almost completely forgotten her because Nurse Jackie is so brilliant.
That's a good point. And we mentioned Shakira earlier as one of the new judges of The Voice after Christina Aguilera leaves after this season. She posted yesterday on her Facebook page that she's pregnant. Her Spanish soccer star boyfriend, Gerard Piqué, impregnated her. He slipped one past the goalie. Congratulations, Gerard.
Well done.
Thank you so much. Today's celebrity birthdays, Gary Cole from The West Wing and Pineapple Express and Office Space. Boy, is he good. 56 years old today. Kristen Johnston, Third Rock from the Sun and her new show, The X's. She's 45. Moon Bloodgood. There's a lot of double O's in that name. That was very confusing for a moment. He was almost blown Mudgood. Moon Bloodgood. Is 37. She's on Falling Skies, another great series. John Bernthal, who was so good on The Walking Dead, 36 years old today. And Gunnar and Matthew, baby.
Yeah.
Nelson. Nelson. Baby, I can't live without your love and affection. I mean, that's a good song.
That's not bad.
That's a good song.
Has not aged as poorly as I thought it might.
Played that for a minute, I would have said, I love Rick Springfield. Those guys are 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Lisa May, let me tell you who's back. You're going to be surprised to hear this. Ben Folds 5. Do you remember them?
Yes, of course.
We did that ill-fated breakfast with Ben Folds 5 back in the 90s that disappeared forever and kept being lore. Yes, I kind of did. But Ben Folds has continued to make solo records, but he is back together with the original band. They have a brand new song out that is awesome. Here's about 20 seconds of that.
I might put your love and trust on the line. It's risky. People love to tear that down. Let them try. Do it anyway. Risk it anyway. And if you're paralyzed by a voice in your head, it's the standing still that should be scaring you instead. Go on and do it anyway.
God damn it, I love Ben Folds.
Yeah.
Love them so much, so I tune in to see the new video, the new Ben Folds video. It's on the Nerdist channel. Our friend Chris Hardwick, who's joining us on the phone right now, world premieres this new Ben Folds video on the Nerdist network. And lo and behold, it's Ben Folds and Fraggle Rock. It's him with Jim Henson's Muppet Fraggle Rock. And I'm thinking, how did that happen? Turns out it was Chris Hardwick's idea. And I am fascinated by the fever dream that led to this decision. Hi, Chris. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, Bean. How's it going?
It's going fine. Are you really in the back of a New York City cab right now talking to me on your iPad?
I just got out of the New York City cab, and now I'm on the loud New York City streets.
That's so funny.
I apologize for that. But
no, you sound great. You sound fantastic, actually. How did this happen? First of all, the video, which you can see on Nerdist.com, is phenomenal. The song is great, but how did the Fraggle Rock characters come back to life?
Well, our YouTube channel, one of our content partners is the Jim Henson Company.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we do some puppety stuff with them. We show mini episodes of Farscape and stuff. And so I was meeting with Lisa Henson a few weeks ago, and she was like, hey, do you want to do anything with Fraggles? I was like, that's an option? Like, I kind of leapt at her. And I just remembered that Ben had an album coming out, so I called him, and he said yes, and they said yes, and then we made it.
Wow.
Now, for people...
It was a dream.
I mean, and the video came out so great. And we were talking about Fraggle Rock in the office yesterday, and it seems to be like about 50-50 from the people who remember it from the 80s and the people who have no idea what it is. Bring us up to speed with what was great about Fraggle Rock.
I mean, it was just super henson-y. I don't know. It was, they were just super upbeat, tiny creatures that live underground, and they, I don't know. Whereas with the Muppets, there's definitely a little more adult humor, and there's a little bit of cynicism in the Muppets, which is super fun. But the Fraggles was just really funny, and they were adorable.
Yeah, silly and funny. And by the way, I know you get to do lots of crazy things. I mean, you know, whatever you're into, whether it's The Walking Dead or Doctor Who, you find yourself face-to-face with your heroes. But when you go into a meeting with the Jim Henson Company, even that has to feel like, how is this real and why am I being taken seriously, right?
Oh, it's insane, especially when we're on set and then all of a sudden, you know, you see Fraggles come to life and start dancing around on Ben Folds' piano. It's almost like, oh, I died on the drive over here. I'm not alive. This is what happens. So it was indescribable.
You said in the behind-the-scenes video on the channel that you almost begged to be in the video because you knew it was going to be so cool. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I begged, you know, just because it was my production, it was a little more of like, oh, I should probably be in this. Like, I was waiting for someone to be like, I see what you're trying to pull, but no one did. They let me be in it.
Anna Kendrick, also, of course, we know her from Up in the Air, another movie. She's a phenomenal actress. That's kind of random to have her. Now, what is she doing in the video besides you making googly eyes at her?
She is a Fraggle fan, and so is Rob Corddry, and they, you know, they... We kind of tossed it out there to them to see if they wanted to be in, you know, just do these cameo roles, and they both immediately said yes. I mean, this whole video came together in like 2 weeks, and like 2 days before the video, they agreed to be in it, and, you know, she's amazing. Scott Pilgrim, you know, she's got a new movie out now called End of Watch. She's awesome.
Yeah, no, she is awesome. And the video is so cool. I can't stress enough, first of all, how much I love this song, but how fun the video is. And you see all the Fraggle Rock characters just dancing all around, you know, on top of the drums and on top of the piano and everything like that. And it's all puppeteers, right? None of that is special effects or anything. There are guys hiding out with their hands up a puppet's ass, right, Chris?
No. Fraggles are real creatures. And we excavated them, and they came back to life. But when you listen to the song, too, when Ben first sent it to me, he was like, what do you think of this? I'm like, holy crap, this sounds like a Fraggly, Jim Henson-y, Paul Williams-y kind of song already. So it all made sense.
Totally. This is the voice of Chris Hardwick, our friend, the Nerdist, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the Ben Folds video, which, again, you can see at Nerdist.com. Beer Mug, play me that clip. It's something from the end of the video of you guys just clowning around with Fraggle Rock. This will bring back some good memories for people.
5, 6, 7, 8. Dance your cares away. Worries for another day. Let the music play. Down at Fraggle Rock. Down at Fraggle Rock.
Down at Fraggle Rock.
So fun. Chris, it must be so awesome for you to have this Nerdist channel. There's almost nothing you can't imagine anymore that you now don't have the power to go out and make happen. You're just living your dreams every single day, my friend.
I am. I'm currently working on a ray to block out the sun, so until I get money from the government. I'm not supposed to say that out loud. Sorry.
Nerdist.com is where you can see the video and all of the great stuff. You've got a ton of partners on there with new content that goes up every single day. I mean, it's one of my favorite networks out there right now. Chris, you're doing great work, man. Congratulations on this video. It really is awesome. We appreciate you taking some time out to join us today.
Thanks, guys. I miss you. Hope to see you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And you're on.
Really?
Yeah. Song faded. I'm sorry.
You're
dude.
On.
I'm
Go.
Sorry, dude.
You're on.
8:21 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, behind the scenes. I'm yelling at Beer Mug all day long about, hey, give a brother a heads up when the song's over. He gives me one half of 1 second.
It's hard that for was him my fault. Because in other rooms they tell him, don't give us a heads up.
Jesus
Shut up.
Christ.
He gets confused.
confusing. Jimmy Kimmel on the program next hour. He's, of course, the host of the Emmys this weekend. Dr. Drew has a phenomenal new show called Rehab with Dr. Drew Sunday nights on VH1. We'll talk to him about that coming up in just a few minutes as well. First, though, the Wheel of Animal Voices is on the air, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah!
I love this. Love this feature. There are so many great stories in the news all the time that feature our furry creatures that we love to talk to so much. Who's on the wheel before we spin it here, Beer Mugs, if you can handle this part of the
job? I think I can. We have Toto the Tornado Kitten.
Oh, Tornado Kitten.
Brazilian Wandering Spider. Mm-hmm. Vicious British Underground Mice. Thriller, Michael Jackson's Tiger in Heaven. The Brazilian Penis Snake. Purston Howell the Third from Rich Cats of Instagram.
Oh, Purston Howell the Third. Come on, Purston.
That's Dave's favorite. We have the turtle that took an unwanted balloon ride.
Oh, that's just sad.
That sounds mean.
Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. Uh-huh. Badass super soldier ants. Obi, the 70-pound wiener dog that needs a diet. And last but not least, Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So a lot to choose from. We're going to talk to one of those animals. We don't know which one. Spin the wheel. Let's see where it lands.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad.
Here we go.
Good spin.
Wow, it's not stopping. Oh, yeah, the turtle that took an unwanted balloon ride.
Oh, yay! The turtle.
This story comes to us from Oceanside, California. I believe we have audio standing by of the news report about what happened to this poor little turtle.
Here it is. And now.
A turtle is shell-shocked after going for an unwanted balloon ride, and now cops are looking for a really cruel prankster. The turtle was found floating over Southern California. The balloon ride ended in a tree where the turtle was found dangling taped to the balloon with duct tape. The turtle was actually not even hurt. The Humane Society is keeping it while an investigation continues to catch the culprit.
This is a terribly sad story. Look, I don't know how smart turtles are, but I can't imagine you're not terrified if you're any kind of creature with any kind of brain as you go 100 feet, 200 feet, 500 feet in the air, right?
Yeah, once you're off the ground, I don't think you're happy.
I can't imagine. Well, let's find out. We've got the turtle on the line with us right now. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't hear on the news what your name is, sir.
My name is...
Yes.
Terrence
the turtle. Okay. Is there any...
can...
call you Terry. We can call you Terry because we're really kind of in a hurry here.
Terry. For short.
Terry for short. Okay. Listen, I know you're a turtle. You don't walk fast. Is there any way you could speak a little more quickly for us, please?
Sure.
Okay.
No. Where...
No problem. You're going to do... All right. Terry, where are you right now? I'm hearing what sounds like birds behind you.
I'm going on another...
Not another balloon ride.
...with balloon.
Oh, no. Did the mean...
to my...
shell, right.
Did
the mean kids, the same mean kids as last time, tie balloons to you and let you loose into the air again?
It wasn't kids who did this.
Okay, who was it? Can you identify them, please? Yes, Terry? Terry, you okay?
My team of turtle pilots.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. Your team of turtle?
I belong to the Flying Turtle Club.
What the hell? What the hell? There's no Flying Turtles Club. Turtles don't fly. That's not a thing.
We... do now.
Okay.
I'm the first
flying turtle.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In
the world?
History.
In history. So you're the Wright brothers for turtles.
I am
the Wright brothers for turtles. Right. Okay.
Right.
So
brothers
for turtles. Listen. So we're almost out of time. Terry.
Turtles.
So the Humane Society can step off then, because you're fine. You're not scared. You're flying on purpose. This is something you want to do and you enjoy it.
This is something
you enjoy. You're having a good time.
Like,
you're having a blast.
To
all right. In conclusion, we gotta actually do go.
The Humane
Society can stop investigating and just let you live your life. Come on, Terry.
Fight me.
Okay. Thanks for talking to us.
I'm fine.
Congratulations to Rick Borchert from El Segundo. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. We will see you in the building Monday at K-Rock at around 3 o'clock for Green Day as they perform live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. By the way, that is going to be streaming live through K-Rock.com, and our man Stryker is going to be handling the interview portion of that. So that's going to be a great time. Plus, Rick, we're going to hook you up with a copy of the new Green Day album called Uno as well. Your chance to win is coming up. All right, Dr. Drew, he's back on TV with a new rehab show. It just debuted this past Sunday night at 8 on VH1. And Dr. Drew, you weren't lying. I think this could be your best season yet, my friend.
Oh, thanks, man. It's certainly the most gritty and real. I mean, people are going to see a group of patients with very, very serious addiction. For me, it was actually kind of exciting because I kept telling my staff, I mean, these are people we can really help. I mean, Shelly, Bob, Sasha, and I, we sort of, our expertise is in people with really severe addiction, and we can get people off drugs, no problem. We get them off everything, and none of them had been off drugs in years and years and years, because people always been put it, the doctors and hospitals always left them on something or put them on some replacement therapy. And so we actually filmed that 6 months ago, and they're all now off everything, doing pretty well, still in treatment. But at the beginning, it was rocky. And Bean, I think what you're talking about is the withdrawal stuff. But they're so affected by the drugs and the alcohol, there's a lot of aggression and violence that breaks out.
Oh, it's just incredible. I mean, I have so many questions just based on episode one, Dr. Drew. Speaking of violence, you do show some previews for some things that happen in future episodes. Are there ever any occasions when a patient gets violent enough that they lash out and start hurting people, including your staff, where you have to call in the police? Or are you always able to handle that in-house just with the people you've got working there?
I have called in police before, but usually we kind of can handle it. I mean, we sort of know what we're doing with this stuff. These are not uncommon experiences. And, the question is, at what point does a patient have to suffer the consequences of not containing their behavior and be discharged? And we were getting close on a couple of the patients. And one actually ends up in a locked ward later in the season. Yeah. Because
wow.
these are people really, really need help. But I got to tell you, in spite of as troubled as they were, they're just doing amazing now.
I'm really happy to hear that, because you'd never guess that some of these people are going to live through the cycle of your television show. Let's talk about Eric for a minute here. Here's a guy who's been on heroin since he was a teenager, basically.
Yep.
He spends, like many heroin addicts, he spends almost all of his time trying to figure out how he can get enough money to keep his habit alive. Right.
Well, let me interrupt you, Bean, and say that now the guys like Eric have a new means, which is they go to the doctor, get Suboxone, and then shoot that. And I saw him yesterday, he was laughing about how people don't think you can get high off Suboxone. He just was laughing like
what is
really,
it?
That was hysterical.
What is it for, and why does a doctor prescribe it to begin with?
Well, it's the new methadone. It's sort of a way to try to, and it does work in certain cases, in certain situations where there's no other option. But, to think that somebody can become a doctor or a lawyer or fly a plane or a life on this drug is just not right. Save lives in certain situations, but they're still in their disease. And the guy like Eric is sort of what you saw him shooting on the show was Suboxone.
Tell me about the phenomena among heroin addicts, and I sense that Eric wasn't the first one to tell you that he was in love with the needle. What's that about, Doc?
It's a very common thing. It's funny. Psycho Mike last night was talking to me about that. He said he was so glad that we portrayed that piece, because he hears about that all the time in meetings, which is that, they romance and love. There's such a strong association between the actual act of injecting the drug and looking at the rigs and procuring it and developing it, that becomes sort of, it's almost a conditioned phenomenon. You know, it's so conditioned to the extreme euphoria that just that in itself becomes a high.
How do you explain, based on hundreds of times you've had people talk to you about their heroin addiction, what the rush is like? Because it sounds to me, as a non-drug user, like it is the greatest feeling a human can experience when you do heroin for the first time, and nothing ever seems to be able to replicate that first time.
You know, I think sometimes, in my private thoughts, I get jealous. Because I think, wow, when I take opiates for a surgery or something, I feel awful.
Right.
If I ever have cancer or need opiates, it's going to be terrible for me. It's a side benefit of having cancer. I'm just kidding. But
what is it about heroin, though, that is so attractive to people after they do it the first time?
You have to be I'm being glib about this, but to make the point that it's a genetic issue. There are several different opioid receptors in our brain. Some people have the predominance of the ones that cause euphoria when exposed to opiates. Some of us have dysphoria or nausea when we get exposed to opiates predominantly. Obviously, the addicts are set up in such a way that they must get extreme euphoria as the reason they keep doing the drugs. It's not really necessarily the reason they can't stop, though. Because remember, they're months or years out, they have euphoric recall, but there's this motivational drive in addition to that extreme euphoria that really is what sets them up for relapse.
I'd like to try heroin, Dr. Drew. Can you hook me up?
This is going to be a great bit for radio.
It is.
Lisa's like, yeah, go.
Because it's going to go so badly.
Well, heroin is not one of those things like dropping acid that can fry your brain for life. You can do heroin once and be fine for the rest of your life, right, Doc?
Yeah, it's just like taking morphine or anything else for a surgery. But Lisa, let's make a choice here. Do we want being on crack, being on speed, being on heroin? I think being on heroin is our best choice.
I do too. Hilarious.
You wouldn't help me out when I wanted to try meth. You were no show for that. Then when I wanted to get the tapeworm, remember when I was trying to lose that weight and I wanted you to help me with a tapeworm? You said no to that. You're a bummer, Dr. Drew.
You know what, Bean? You're right. I always think of myself as not the guy who likes to bump people's eye, but I seem to like to bump yours.
Seriously, I just want to try. I just want to get on the horse, Doc. Come on. Now, we're talking to Dr. Drew Pitsky right now about his VH1 Sunday night show called Rehab with Dr. Drew. It is the sickest group of patients we've ever seen in all the cycles of doing this show. I think you have four people, right, on heroin this time around that you're helping?
Yeah, and you know, poor Ashley is a severe alcoholic, is a severe alcoholic. You know, she's dying. Everyone's dying. I mean, everyone is in the end stages of addiction here and are going to die if they go back to their disease. There's a lot at stake for these guys. So, you know, the God Bless VH1, by the way, they are really doing what I tell them in terms of making resources available. And it's expensive to keep these guys going and sober living and with treatment and psychiatrists. And so, you know, they deserve a tip of the hat for really doing what's right to help these people get well.
Let me tell Lisa about Ashley, because it was the worst case of alcoholism I think I've ever seen in my life. She said what? That she starts every day with a fifth of vodka, right, Doc?
Yeah, and she had pancreatitis and gastritis and kidney failure and liver failure and gastrointestinal bleeding.
How is she still alive?
But for the grace of God, she was hospitalized multiple times, weeks leading up to filming the show, like multiple times, and she knew she was going to die. And
She had doctors tell her, she had 10 different times she's been to the hospital and had doctors tell her she was going to die, Lisa May, and she sat there and told Dr. Drew that, and Dr. Drew said, I'm going to be number 11. You are going to die. I mean, there's really no way around it. There's no possible way a human body can exist in the direction that she's headed, right? I mean, it's only a matter of is it going to be weeks or months for her.
Especially women are more prone to significant medical problems from alcohol. But isn't that a great example of the motivational distortion of addiction? Knows intellectually, accepts the fact that she's going to die, and can still do nothing about it. The drive to use is more powerful than the drive to survive.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
That's the nature of addiction. That's it right there in a nutshell.
Let me ask you one more thing, Dr. Drew. And again, I urge our listeners to check out the show on VH1 Sunday nights. You can also catch this episode number one if you want through VH1.com. It is streaming in its entirety. How did you select these people? Because it looked like maybe – did they send in videos to you to try to get on the show, or what was the process?
You know, I'm never involved in this selection process, whether it's celebrities or regular people. They just sort of give me the psych evaluations and ask if I can treat them or not. And I don't know what they did. I do know they did send in videos. And our, Bob and my sort of constant refrain to these guys is, isn't it amazing that in your disease, as sick as you guys were, you were still able to go through this process of getting yourself on this program? Some part of you really wants to get well.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, at the beginning at least, they were all super motivated, which was a pleasure. And then, of course, you know, as time goes along, the usual sort of bumps and problems associated with staying sober developed. But
well,
they were much more motivated than average at the beginning. They really wanted the treatment we had.
I'm super, super happy to hear that everybody is doing so well. And last question for you, Doctor. Is there
they've been great, but they're all still in treatment.
They're all still alive. Yeah, they're all still alive, at least.
They're in treatment, and that's what counts. If they stay with us, we know they're going to get ultimately sustained sobriety. But it's always bumpy along the way.
Once you get Eric off the heroin, get him a Boston accentectomy. I cannot listen to that guy anymore on my TV the way he talks. Seriously, it's a deal breaker, dude. I'm sorry. It just is. Sunday nights.
Everybody in the South, he talks like that.
I know they do. Sunday nights on VH1 at 8 o'clock, Rehab with Dr. Drew. You really are doing the Lord's work out there, man. Thanks so much for the time on the Kevin Bean Show today. We enjoyed it.
Thanks, Bean.
Jimmy Kimmel, host of the Emmys.
I don't want songs to end with explosions anymore. I like that. It's good. Sorry, go ahead. Right. Jimmy Kimmel.
No, it's fine.
Oh, now you know it feels.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I was trying not to say anything uncomplimentary about that song. It wasn't you, Ralph, at all. Jimmy Kimmel is the host of the Emmys this weekend on ABC. He's going to be joining us after the top of the hour. Next weekend is his, what is it, the San Gennaro?
He's the San Gennaro. Hey, how you do? Hey, what do you do? You like a cheese? We got a cheese. You like a meatball? We got a meatball. We got a pizza. We got a cannoli. Anything you want, we got it. We got organized crime. It's all for you.
So Jimmy's got a lot going on. He'll be talking to us all about that coming up in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
I don't know how to break it to Jim's this year.
What?
I'm not going to be able to make the prima notte.
You always go the first
night.
I know.
I've gone every year.
You love going, too. You always have a great time.
I love it, and I would recommend that everyone buy their tickets and attend the feast this year. It's a great event. Happens all weekend long. And
why the hateration this year?
No hateration. Just conflict. I got a conflict. Got a scheduling conflict.
Hmm. I can't imagine you have anything more fun that night than this event.
Oh,
yeah,
for God's sakes, Ralph.
Yeah. I have to go see Batman. There's not the night I deserve, the night I need.
Isn't Batman Live there for like 2 weeks at Staples Center?
But I didn't know. They didn't give me the heads up months ago and say, oh, by the way, we're doing the Feast of San Gennaro. The Prima Notte is on the 27th. Make sure your calendar's free. But Batman Live did give me that heads up and said, we'd like to have you to attend the premiere evening at Staples Center. Would you like to attend? And I said, yes, I would like to attend. Thank you. So Smith and I are going down there. We're going to do our thing, and we got listeners going down there from the Hollywood Babylon show and stuff. So it's a big sort of event.
Well, only one of those events has the Caped Crusader, and I guess that made it an easy choice for you.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
Okay, yeah. All right, you're off the hook.
Before I get to showbiz news, I still have more tickets to give away to our very special K-Rock advance screening of Looper.
Yay!
It's Hooper, Big Bird, Hooper. Every time I see Looper, I think of Big Bird. Hello, Mr. Looper. It's not the case at all. It is happening Thursday, September the 27th is the date of our advanced screening. Movies in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 28th. This movie looks just outstanding. From the brilliant mind of Rian Johnson, writer and director of Looper. Great premise about the mob in the future who wants to get rid of someone. They send him 30 years into the past, where an assassin awaits them, whacks them, and disposes of the body. That means there's no evidence of that murder in the future where the mob is using this time travel technology. It's genius. Until someday they want to close the loop on one of their assassins, hence the name Looper, and they send that same said assassin back in time to be killed by himself.
Dude.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt stars as a young Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis.
Who?
Jogolev stars as a young Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis stars as a old Bruce Willis. Emily Blunt is in the film. Paul Dano, Piper Perabo, Jeff Daniels as the mob boss. Just outstanding cast in what looks to be a great movie. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Looper, which is also Thursday, September the 27th, so I can't go to that either.
Jeez.
So much going on Thursday, September the 27th.
What the hell?
It's a very popular date this year.
Huh.
Heard you talking to Dr. Drew a little while ago. Love that guy. Looks like he can start.
He's doing good work.
He can start casting his next celebrity rehab if he wants to open the doors to that franchise again. Fiona Apple was arrested
Hot mess.
At a border stop in Texas yesterday, authorities claim they found hashish on her tour bus.
So?
It all went down in Sierra Blanca, Texas. This is the same spot where Willie Nelson, Snoop Dogg, and Armie Hammer have all been arrested for drugs in the past. I would say to people in the future, don't go to Sierra Blanca, Texas.
No kidding.
They're good at catching people with drugs there. If you have drugs, steer around it.
And by the way, what's the deal with Texas? I thought Texas was supposed to be, hey, leave me alone, let me do my own thing, keep the government out of my business.
They are with guns, but they're not so much with drugs. They like the bullets, they don't like the pipes.
I'm just so surprised that they keep arresting all of these people who aren't hurting anybody.
Yeah,
why bring down Willie Nelson? What's Fiona Apple going to do on pot? Fiona Apple needs to be mellower. Let her have pot.
Maybe her titles would get shorter if she's more stoned.
Right. Maybe her album titles wouldn't be 90 words long if she took a puff once in a while.
To relax. So she's still apparently being held at the Hudspeth County Jail, and story is developing. But boy, really, pot, hash, is this really? Are we
Seriously.
A civilized country? Have we evolved at all? Or really, are we coming down on people who are smoking a little dope or a little hash?
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
God's sake, let's grow up. Let's stop being the teenagers of the world. Let's become the adults of the world, America.
Nope.
All right. There's the answer from America. Moving on. Congratulations to Modern Family star Jesse Tyler Ferguson. He and his boyfriend attorney, Justin Makita. I have tied the knot. They are
nope.
No, can't do that either. You're right. No smoking dope. No gay people getting married. No. They found a way to do it anyway, so congratulations.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
You know, I can never get around that ironclad logic of that statement. That's how they always stop me in my tracks when it gets to this debate, because they're right.
Yes.
They've got me there.
God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Oh, no wonder they say it so much. It's just bulletproof, that argument. And good news for our buddy Fred Willard. The 73-year-old comic genius has wrapped up a court-ordered sex education course. This was part of his plea bargain deal when he got popped in that porn theater in Hollywood, allegedly enjoying himself while watching the adult entertainment.
Do they think he didn't know how to do it and he needed
sex
more
education?
Education?
Fred, you're doing that all wrong,
dude.
Buddy. Let's take a course and we'll teach you. Look, here's a cucumber. Grab some lotion. Let me teach you a few things.
If you think that I'm going to masturbate after this tonight, you're right.
I believe it was an education about the pitfalls, perhaps, of
the do's and don'ts.
Certain kinds of sexuality and the appropriate areas in which to do them. He needed a little schooling in that arena.
I think being arrested for masturbating in public taught him the only lesson he needs to know from this experience, which is do it at home.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're trying to get across to him in that course. However, I would say if this course is about appropriate places to engage in sexual activity, I would say a theater that has a giant screen showing people copulating on it would be an excellent location for you to engage in some self-love.
USA! USA! USA!
I'd say an inappropriate location would be like a Chuck E. Cheese's. That would be right. Well, you arrest the person who's doing it there, but leave the person alone who is enjoying the adult entertainment in a theater filled with other people who I assume are also enjoying the adult entertainment. I doubt anyone in that place looked around and said, hey, cut that out! That's disgusting. I'm trying to watch the porn. I don't think anyone complained.
In line at Target, for God's sakes.
Right.
He was at the Tiki Theater.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Spank me, baby.
That was what was there. That was the movie that was showing, apparently. Mm-hmm. That was the doubleheader. Spank Me Baby. And also, Who Hid the Pepperoni? Today's celebrity birthday is Gary Cole. He is a brilliant actor. People remind me. I was going on about his long, long resume. He was, of course, the boss in The Office. He was
Office Space.
He was recently on a great arc on The Good Wife. Mm-hmm. He was in Pineapple Express, The West Wing. How could I forget? He was also Ricky Bobby's daddy in Talladega Nights. A lot of reminders about that. Anyway, whatever he does, it's always good. He's 56 years old today. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun. You think she goes to see Looper and says, really? Really? The kid?
It's got to be rough.
The kid now is the big movie star?
John Lithgow isn't doing bad either.
And Lithgow's winning Tonys?
Yeah.
And I'm on TV Land. Okay, fair enough. She's 45 years old today. Moon Bloodgood from Falling Skies. She was born right here in Southern California. Anaheim native. 37 years old today. John Bernthal, super talented actor, very nice guy. He is from The Walking Dead, of course, played Shane on that show, 36 years old. He's not around so much on that show, I've noticed.
Not so much, no. Which is weird, because on that show, usually when you're dead, it doesn't mean you're gone.
Right. You show up. And Gunnar and Matthew Nelson, the legendary Nelson twins, are 45 years old today. Baby, I can't live without your love and affection. To go see Nelson in concert right now. Where are they playing? I just want to hear that one song. Then I'm going to go. Come on,
well,
Nelson.
I'm just not sure about that right now.
Nelson! They're 45. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Ralph, who's the hardest working man in show business these days, do you reckon?
I guess that would be Carrot Top. Bean?
That's an excellent guess. I was going to say perhaps our friend Jimmy Kimmel. He's hosting his late night show on ABC every weeknight this week while he's preparing for the Emmys this Sunday night on ABC. Also why he's preparing for the Feast of San Gennaro, which is going to be next weekend in Southern California.
Wow.
He's got all of that going on, yet he still makes the time to jump on the phone and talk to us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, James. How are you holding up, buddy?
I just wish you guys would give me the direct line and I wouldn't have to call the request line over and over again.
I know.
I mean, but really, I at a certain point, it's getting ridiculous.
The good news is you won Green Day tickets, so it all worked out.
So, James, where do you want to start? You want to talk Emmys first or you want to talk the feast first?
I'll let you decide, Bean. You are the host.
Let's talk.
Kevin off Kevining or something?
He's off Kevining.
He's off Kevining. And thank you very much, by the way, for sending in your photo of Kevining. We love it so much. It's proudly displayed in our gallery.
I have to say, I stared at that picture of him for, I don't know, maybe a good like 35 minutes, and then I had to show it to people around me.
Isn't it the greatest thing ever?
I missed the movie.
The photos are pouring in. We do have the gallery at kevinandbean.com. We got pictures in there from listeners at the Fresno Zoo. There's one who was at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. He took time to Kevin for us. From Cambodia, we got pictures coming in this morning. So, yeah, it's great. Let's take them in order. Let's start with the Emmys. Now, this Sunday night. Now, are the Emmys, is this one of those shows that's live? It's going to be live at 5 o'clock here on the West Coast, right?
Yeah, it is live. There's a five-second delay, which I don't know what they could stop in 5 seconds, to be honest with you. But it's more or less live.
Did you tell them that you can curse for about 15 seconds?
So yeah, I could go on a nonstop string of cursing, and I don't know how I guess they'd just go to commercial or something eventually, but I think they would be so stunned for a good solid 40 seconds that I could end my career at the Emmys.
You have talked many times in the past about how, as a little boy, you grew up wanting to be David Letterman. You wanted to be a talk show host. That was the dream. Was hosting an awards show a companion dream, or is this something that has developed more recently?
Well, it's interesting how you can work and know someone for such a long time, and they know so little about you. That was never my dream. As you may recall from our many years together, I wanted to be on the radio, but I just happened to get into this talk show thing, and no, hosting an award show was never, I mean, I never ever imagined I would do something like this, and I'm probably still not going to do it. I still haven't made up my mind officially.
You still wonder if they're pranking you somehow, right?
Well, it's a very strange position to be in. I think it's funny because you talk to people sometimes, like I don't want to drop names, but I was talking to Billy Joel.
Sure.
BJ,
as we all
BJ
were.
As we know him, yeah.
And he goes, I was at the Kennedys' house for dinner, and, you know, I had dinner with them, and he says, can you imagine that? And I said, yeah, you're Billy Joel. He's like, you know, I'm just a kid from Long Island. And it's weird, no matter, I think, what you've done before, to be standing there and seeing those people in the audience.
Yeah. Sure. And it's a difficult gig, too, Jim, because it's largely out of your control. It's about something else. It's not really your show, and yet you're expected to put it on your shoulders and make it a success nonetheless.
It's like being sexually assaulted.
Or that. Yeah,
that's another analogy. I don't know that's a fair comparison. But
do they let you bring in your guys? You bring in your writers and your staff so you have some support group there?
Yeah, I'm using my writers, and it's funny because I was just looking at the room we're all going to be in. It's... it's going to be a circus in there, especially with my cousin Sal, and we're going to have 12 people kind of jammed into this little room, and they'll probably more. It'll be more trouble than it ultimately is worth.
You absolutely are instituting a no-farting policy if Sal's going to be there in a tiny room, right?
Well, you might as well institute a no-breathing policy with Sal.
Yeah, nothing you could do. I know I wouldn't ask you to give up any surprises. I know that's part of the fun of seeing a show like the Emmys is not knowing what's going to happen, but you have talked in the press about perhaps the biggest prank ever pulled. Now, this is something that you're pulling on us, the home viewer, or pulling on the audience, or what?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about what the second biggest prank I've ever been involved with, and I think that's when we told people that the Mall of America West was opening in Anaheim.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And it's every once in a while, like once every 6 months or so, somebody says to me, like, you know, I was driving around trying to find that mall. That wasn't funny.
I was stuck on the 5, asshole.
Just off the 5 in Anaheim. And I think for those that remember that prank, it's similar in I wouldn't say tone, but it's similar to that in a way.
All right. Okay. Can't wait. All right. So the Emmys are this Sunday night on ABC Live at 5 o'clock with Jimmy Kimmel hosting. Next weekend, starting off next Thursday night, is the opening night, the prima notte of the Italian Feast of San Gennaro. As we've talked in the past, this is an idea that you had to bring this festival that has existed for decades in New York City and bring it to Los Angeles, and you use it to raise money for great local charities, right?
Yes, that is true. And also, more importantly, to gorge myself on it, bad foods, you know. I mean, good foods, but that aren't good for you.
Sure, yeah, of course. So the opening night, that's the pricey ticket, although you can get into that for as little as $50, by the way.
Yeah,
and all the proceeds going to charities. You've raised over $750,000 to local charities in the 11 year or 10 years so far that you've been doing it. And then it's open to the public for just $5. It's a fantastic family event. It's happening all next weekend in Hollywood, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Ralph, you've been every single year to this thing.
I've go every year, and the food is amazing. Like Jimmy mentioned, they get all the best Italian restaurants from all over Southern California who sell their wares there, and they've got rides for the kids, and there's great entertainment. It's a blast, and you don't get to do a lot of street fair kind of stuff in Southern California. So this is a unique event, and it is for a great cause.
Ralph, you're going to be, what, sexting with Batman this weekend?
I can't make the prima notte, Jim, because I'm supposed to be at the premiere of Batman Live, not a Staples Center.
I heard you talking about that. Well, you wouldn't want what 8-year-old boy would want to miss Batman? Live.
How's your
you
personal...
Batman isn't alive, Ralph. He's not alive.
Shut up! He is, too. Jimmy, how is your personal Lord and Savior, Tommy Lasorda, feeling? Is he bounced back? Is he well enough? Is he going to be joining you again this year?
I think he, like a well-formed meatball, he bounced right back. In fact, yeah, he had some a little medical...
He had a heart attack.
But I think he's okay. I think he's coming, but I haven't heard for sure.
It's just a little agita, as they say, right?
A little agita, yeah. That's right.
Well, it's a fantastic event, and like Ralph said, there aren't many events as cool as this that happen throughout the year in Southern California. It is huge. It's for a great cause. The food is great. Lots of stars. You can meet Jimmy. Adam will be down there, of course. Ralph, I'm sure you'll make it throughout the weekend.
Yes.
FeastofLA.org is the website, and again, the Emmys are this Sunday night at 5 on ABC. Dude, you got a lot on your plate right now, but thanks for carving out the time for us. We enjoyed talking to you.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And give my love to Kevin, wherever he may be.
All right,
we
Jimbo,
certainly
thanks,
will.
Man.
Bye-bye. How about that? Slightly Stupid, Top of the World here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ on a Thursday. We got time for one more look at the showbiz beat with Ralph Graham. What's going on?
It's funny, you know, all the pop stars, the rock stars, sort of were the biggest names in that form of music starting from its inception are all now like in their 60s.
Yeah.
It's true. When you look at the history of pop and rock music, I mean, the people who were really at the forefront, the ones who exploded that form of music, the Stones and the Who and a lot of bands.
Yeah, those guys are all getting up there.
They're old
sure.
people now.
Right.
You know how you know that's for sure?
How?
Because the AARP is throwing a huge event concert Saturday in New Orleans.
All right.
The AARP, for those who don't know, is the American Association of Retired Peoples.
Yes.
Yeah. It's people over, what, 55 or something,
yes.
Right, mostly?
And they're having a huge event in New Orleans on Saturday. They expect thousands of people over the age of 60 to show up for a rock concert.
Oh, my God.
I mean, look, guys like Bruce Springsteen are selling out stadiums all over the world. He's in his 60s.
But this is just for old people. Old people singing for old people.
Yeah. Yeah.
The lineup includes Stevie Nicks, Melissa Etheridge, Gladys Knight, and other old people. So it's good. Old people.
Old people who have been around a while.
Get together and sing for old people.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
The event will be held at noon, and then 4 o'clock, everybody's going to go to dinner at Denny's. It's going to, you know, it gets late. You know, it's late. While we're talking about music, Fiona Apple is breaking news, has been arrested. She was arrested in Texas yesterday. Authorities claim they found hash on her tour bus. Happened in Sierra Blanca, Texas. This is the same town where Willie Nelson, Snoop, and Armie Hammer were all busted for pot as well. Fiona Apple, she should have seen it coming. Don't go through Sierra Blanca if you're holding.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Her bus was stopped, inspected, cops turned up some hash, and she is currently being held at the Hudspeth County Jail, apparently.
Thank God she's off the streets.
But it's only weed. Remember how she used to break in people's homes to get her weed money and sell your laptop and stuff and everything?
Yeah.
Kick the door.
Yeah. All those people she assaulted. Yeah.
You can see. She's a danger to herself and others.
Oh, wait. That's right. It didn't affect anybody but her.
How much money does Honey Boo Boo need? That's the question that's being asked right now. Of course, Alana Thompson was spun off into her own show from Toddlers and Tiaras on TLC. And here comes Honey Boo Boo as a smash hit for the network. Pulling down about 2 million viewers per episode. The family was being paid $4,000 per episode.
A dollar makes me holla, Honey Boo Boo.
A dollar make her holla, and $4,000 make her holla 4,000 times.
For the whole family.
That was for the family.
But that's per episode, so that is $40,000 for 10 shows,
that's right.
Which is, I don't know, maybe that's probably what the husband makes, I would imagine, right?
I suppose.
Right, but what is MTV?
What's TLC making?
Yeah. It seems like they're underpaying them. I agree.
Hollywood Reporter says that the family's back in negotiations for a second season, because, of course, we need more. They're now demanding $10,000 an episode.
Give it to them.
Which is still chump change.
They need a better lawyer.
They do. They need an agent.
They don't talk about it on the show, by the way, but my understanding from the deep research I've done on Honey Boo Boo's family is that Sugar Bear works in some sort of mine. Like, he is
some sort of mine.
Yes, he's under... I don't exactly know what it is, but he's down in some sort of mine, like a chalk mine or something like that, 7 days a week supporting that family.
Come on.
Yeah, they could use the money. Hook him up.
I don't think Mom is starving. I don't think they're. I don't think they're poor that they can't buy groceries, because it looks like Mom is
eating
doing
plenty.
Okay. She's getting her nutrition from something.
It's cheaper to buy crap, though, right?
Let's not forget though.
You got to buy a lot of crap to look like that, Lisa. Even if it's cheap crap, how much cheap crap do you have to eat to weigh 4 bills?
Don't forget that Pumpkin, the 12-year-old, weighs 170 pounds herself, too. Yes. By the way. She's well on the way. Honey Boo, are you guys happy there?
Happiness and sunshine and butterflies and flowers.
Oh, sounds like they're taking it pretty well.
It's a wonderful land. It's so funny that one of their children is named after a vegetable, since none of them have seen or tasted a vegetable in about 25 years. They should have named her after a dollar meal deal menu or something, item or something.
This is not a joke, Ralph, and I know you don't watch the show, but trust me, I'm not making this up. This family is obsessed with and constantly eats cheese balls. A giant, the size of a small trash can of cheese balls, and they've got them out all the time, all over the living room. That's what seems to be what they eat most of the time is cheese balls.
I like me a good cheese ball from time to time. However, there is a danger with eating the cheese balls, and anyone who's gotten stoned and watched late night television with a container of cheese balls in front of them knows this to be true. It will shred your mouth. It will tear up the roof of your mouth.
Because of the nuts.
You will be bloody. The nuts.
In the cheese ball? Usually they cover it in nuts?
No, we're not talking like a cheese ball you get at Hickory Farms.
Oh,
these are cheese balls. They're like a
cheese
little.
Puffs. Cheese
like,
puffs. Yeah,
I guess that's
cheese
what they are. Yeah.
Oh, they tear up your mouth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're so crunchy that they will shred the roof of your mouth.
Oh, my God.
You'll end up in the emergency room if you eat enough of them. I'm kidding. Just saying it's very painful. So I can only imagine how callous the insides of their mouths must be.
And by the way, and tell me if I'm wrong about this with the cheese puffs, too, is that you often wake up and your penis is orange, too. That happens.
Why you gotta work creepy, man? Why you gotta work creepy?
Cheese puff on your hands!
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
X Factor is doing everything it can to keep me from watching, and they're taking another step in the right direction. Perez Hilton, apparently, is breaking the news that two celebrity hosts have been locked in to host the show when it goes into live episodes on November the 1st. Of course, we heard about Khloe Kardashian being Simon's pick to be the producer of the show.
Give me some star power here.
He had mentioned that he did want two hosts after he let go of Steve Jones, the Brit who was hosting the show. Now they have added the high wattage power of Mario Lopez.
It's not exactly Kanye West, is it?
Those two with that energy, Khloe and Mario on stage at the same time. I just hope they tour. I just hope they play Vegas, the two of them.
I wouldn't go to a supermarket opening on the island with Mario Lopez and Khloe Kardashian hosting, much less watch them on my television set.
Yeah. I can think of four other Saved by the Bell cast members I'd rather see host that show.
Absolutely.
Including Screech.
Including Screech, yes.
So there's no danger of me accidentally watching X Factor anytime soon.
I'm with you. That seems like a Simon Cowell misstep to me.
As does Britney, as does Demi Lovato. L.A. Reid is a poor man's Randy Jackson.
Right.
And I'm surprised that Simon Cowell, who I thought had a lot of showbiz acumen, is putting together this feeble a show.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
Yeah. Especially when the voice is just kicking their ass. You'd think they would be desperate to try to hip it up a little bit, make something exciting happen. If you're going to add a second host to Khloe Kardashian, make it somebody we want to see.
At least make it Skrillex or somebody. Oh. It's unpredictable.
Yeah, or Deadmau5. Just have Deadmau5. Him come out. Just come out in the hat. Just come out in the giant helmet and just walk around. That's all you need. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? One of my favorite actors of all time. And I know I say that a lot, but in this case it's particularly true. Gary Cole is one of those guys who's always good in everything that he does. And I can't understand why he isn't a massive superstar.
I agree.
Maybe it's because he doesn't have a persona. He plays so many different kinds of characters so well. He is a chameleon, and that's what makes him a brilliant actor. 56 years old today. Gunnar Nelson and Matthew Nelson, the Nelson boys, are 45 years old. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun now can be seen on a series called The X's. She is 45 years old. Moon Bloodgood from Falling Skies. You also may remember her from Terminator Salvation. She is 37 years old. And John Bernthal. From The Walking Dead, played Shane on that series. He's going to have a big career in feature films. He is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. That would be great. Okay?
Yeah.
But tomorrow's Friday, right? So that's a fun day for us.
Friday is Hawaiian shirt day.
Oh.
So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Okay, wow. We'll do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. What a program we have for you tomorrow. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wow, you guys, I mean, you're really bringing it. Monday was great. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You got to be slacking by tomorrow, right? You got to be taking tomorrow off. No.
Ha. Ha.
No.
Wrong.
We come back strong tomorrow. Our friend Rob Riggle is going to be on with us tomorrow, of course. Hilarious actor, Riggle. Comedian. He just joined the NFL on Fox. He's doing great work. We'll talk to LA Times' Miriam McNamara about the Emmys. She's got her predictions on who will win. Ralph, you're going to be very excited. I know you're loving the BBC America.
Yes.
We've got Copper in here tomorrow. Tom Weston Jones is going to be joining us.
Great new series.
From the Copper Show. Ask an Interventionist on tomorrow's All-New Kevin and Bean Show.
The one time we need Kevin to be on the show and he's on vacation when we literally could use him in the room because we could watch her at work.
Ironically, he's not here because he walked into an intervention last Friday, so that's why he's unavailable for us. But I don't think we've ever done that before. How do you run an intervention? How is it done successfully so that it sticks? And what kinds of crazy things must happen to the people who find themselves in an intervention?
Yes.
They're not expecting it, and it's bad surprise for them.
Do you do if someone's addicted to interventions? How do you give an intervention then?
Hadn't thought of
excellent
that.
Excellent point. Cousin Sal will be on once again. He's the guy who gave you the lockpick guarantee of the Atlanta Falcons win on Monday night. So the boy knows what he's talking about. He'll be on with his NFL picks tomorrow. Ralph, you got a movie beat for us tomorrow, and it's your last chance to win tickets to join us here at K-Rock for the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock to see Green Day on Monday afternoon with Stryker hosting. That's all tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean.